gentlemen, to the War Room. I'm your host, Harrison Schmidt. Coming to you live this Monday morning. We got a whole weekend's worth of news to talk about. And a lot of revelations into a number of cases. Really, they all share a lot of similarities. We've got new revelations about the Thomas Crooks case. New revelations about Jeffrey Epstein. New revelations about James Comey. And so much more. Lots of videos to get to. Damani Felder will be joining me in the third hour to talk about sort of the MAGA Civil War and how we chart a path towards not just a good future, but one in which we dominate completely. So very excited to talk to him in the third hour. Like I said, we have just a ton of revelations, Mexico burning down, basically. Just a ton of incredible stuff. So let's not waste any time. Let's get right into it. Here it is, your Daily Dispatch. All right, here it is, folks, your Daily Dispatch for Monday, the 17th of November, 2025. President Trump demands House Republicans vote to release Epstein files, warns Republicans not to fall for Democrat trap designed to distract from his record-setting achievements. Meanwhile, Democrats seize the moment to weaponize the scandal, suddenly insisting on releasing the Epstein files years after blocking their disclosure to the public. Gateway Pundit reported last week that the Democrat Party suffered an epic humiliation after social media users caught them making up a lie about President Trump and Jeffrey Epstein. That was so embarrassing. On Wednesday, the Democrat Committee on Oversight released a so-called tranche of correspondence from the Epstein estate claiming to strike a blow against the White House's Epstein cover-up. The three unrelated emails span from dates 2011 to 2019. Democrats redacted the name of the victim who publicly exonerated President Trump, even though the Epstein estate itself did not redact her name. Just one of the many aspects of this investigation where the Democrats are playing fast and loose with the facts and the timeline and their participation in it. We'll get into more of that later. Meanwhile, significant details emerge on would-be Trump assassin Thomas Crooks' alleged social media presence, including an intriguing alias and his pronouns. He also apparently is a trans, a furry, curious potential assassin. So again, we'll touch on that a little bit more, but the takeaway story is that the FBI has known this the whole time and has withheld this information from the American people and is now mad that it's being released without their permission, which my answer would be you should have released it yourself if you'd had all of this. We'll go through it later, but Cash Patel put out this tweet list of hundreds of hours of investigation and all of the evidence they recovered and all of the agents that were on the case and all the interviews that they carried out. And it's like, okay, but you've told us nothing. You've told us nothing. So, you know, private investigators have gone and found this information and are now releasing it without your permission. You could have just held a press conference at any point in the last year and a half and told us any of this information, but you didn't. And so the question becomes, why didn't you? We'll answer that later. Meanwhile, acting FEMA Administrator David Richardson resigns. FEMA employees penned a letter criticizing the direction of the agency. Current former FEMA workers wrote to Congress saying the Trump administration's changes to FEMA could hurt America's ability to respond to the next disaster, which is interesting because in the past, the only limitations, the only, you know, barrier to protecting Americans after disasters has been FEMA themselves refusing to give aid to Trump supporters or the demand that states swear against BDS and swear to uphold their fealty to Israel before they receive FEMA money. So, yeah, there's a lot of stuff wrong with FEMA. It ain't Trump that did it. He's trying to fix it. Meanwhile, judge finds profound misstep in U.S. probe of FBI ex-chief James Comey. Again, more just sort of technicalities that they're, you know, attempting to frame as destroying the entire case, despite the fact that he is guilty of what he was accused of because he did it on video and in front of everybody. And finally, we have this Gen Z style protest spread in Mexico fueled by mayor's murder. And this was an absolutely massive scene of conflict outside of the palace there in Mexico. And we'll get into what is behind this. It looks like it was inspired quite heavily by the Nepal uprising of Gen Z, in which they organized a new government on Discord, of all things. It's a strange new world, folks, and unexpected things are happening. Stay here, and we'll try to piece out where this goes. That's your Daily Dispatch, brought to you, of course, by TheAlexJonesStore.com. TheAlexJonesStore.com/Harrison if you want to let them know who sent you. We'll be right back.
Well, barring a miracle, InfoWars, the website, the studio, will be shut down somewhere in or around January 1st, 2026. But regardless, the InfoWar lives on. But InfoWarsStore.com, the legendary site that literally funded the InfoWar because of your great support with so many great products, has gotten two final shipments in of Body's Ultimate Turmeric Formula and Ultimate Fish Oil. Both are the highest quality, the best out there. They're fan favorites. And right now, they're 40% off until they sell out. So this is probably, I said about 90% chance, your last chance to get Body's Ultimate Turmeric Formula and Ultimate Fish Oil at InfoWarsStore.com. But don't worry. The InfoWar will continue with the Olive Ships Network. It will continue with all the other work we're doing. But right now, if you want to get these legendary products the last time you can, get them exclusively at InfoWarsStore.com. Again, they're both 40% off for a limited time. So take action now. InfoWarsStore.com.
You're watching The War Room with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now on X.com.
Annihilate.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to The War Room. I'm your host, Harrison Smith. We got a lot to talk about today, obviously. Epstein, Thomas Crooks, James Comey, and so much more. I think maybe we'll start with what's happening in Mexico. What's happening in Mexico is largely unprecedented, although we have seen something similar to this happen in Nepal, of all places. Story at Reuters. Gen Z-styled protests spread in Mexico, fueled by mayor's murder. Thousands protested across Mexico on Saturday under the banner of Generation Z, denouncing a rising violence after the public killing of an anti-crime mayor earlier this month. In Mexico City, a small group of hooded protesters tore down fences around the National Palace where President Claudia Sheinbaum lives, prompting a clash with riot police who deployed tear gas, according to Reuters. The Mexico City Public Safety Secretary Pablo Vasquez said in a public conference that 100 police officers were injured, including 40 who require hospital treatment. Another 20 civilians were also injured, Vasquez told the local media outlet Milenio. The public safety secretary also said 20 people were arrested and another 20 referred for administrative offenses. And yeah, the violence was pretty incredible. Demonstrators tried to pull down a barrier during the protest, or they did pull down the barriers. They'd erected sort of a temporary fence around the palace and the government buildings there, but those were no match for the angry crowd. A group calling itself Generation Z Mexico that called for the protests has said in a manifesto circling on social media that it is nonpartisan and represents Mexican youth that are fed up with the violence, corruption, and abuse of power. Generation Z refers to people born between 1997 and 2012 on the heels of the millennials, and protest groups in other countries across the globe have taken on that label to push for social and political change. Sheinbaum's government has questioned the motives behind Saturday's march, claiming they were organized in large part by right-leaning political opponents promoted by bots on social media. This has become the most convenient excuse for tyrants around the world, is to blame absolutely everything on bots or foreign influence or the machinations of your political enemies. Could it possibly be that Generation Z is just actually genuinely sick of living in a completely, utterly, and horrifically corrupt country? That couldn't possibly be it. It couldn't possibly be that they're responding to reality in an appropriate way. It has to be that they're all mindless zombies controlled by robots, because that's the excuse that you need to make in order to completely ignore, downplay, and basically make illegal the actual genuine concerns that they're talking about. I'm telling you, I've got multiple examples from today of this exact thing, same thing happening. Now the latest lie from the right-wing Zionist is that the division in MAGA is actually being sponsored by Russia. It's actually Russia that's making people mad at Trump. But no, it's not, idiots. No, it's an appropriate response. It's an accurate response to reality. You can't keep downplaying the concerns people have and claiming that they're illegitimate for no reason. For no reason. They have no reason to believe that this was bots on the internet forcing people to do this. It's just the excuse they need to make so they don't have to actually give any consideration to the demands being made by the rioters. Protesters rage against Mexican government over corruption and violence. It's a headline from New York Times. And we've reported on this over and over and over again. It actually originally started with the previous Mexican president, AMLO, but Sheinbaum has continued the practice in which they do not have Secret Service. They don't have, like, they disbanded the Mexican equivalent of the Secret Service. The bodyguard for the president doesn't actually exist anymore. There was a video like a week ago where Claudia Sheinbaum is giving a interview on the street, and some guy comes up and starts like groping her, and it was like really embarrassing. But it's because they don't have nearly the level of protection they probably should, especially in Mexico, a country in which during the 2024 election cycle, 200 people were murdered in acts of political violence. 30 candidates were murdered in a single year, in a single campaign season in Mexico, but the president doesn't have any bodyguards. That should be your first hint that she's with the bad guys, okay? When you have 30 candidates across the country murdered in a single year in political violence, but the president doesn't have a bodyguard. Your country is run by cartels, but the president doesn't fear her for her life. What does that tell you? What does that tell you about who she's working with? She doesn't have to fear the Mexican people because the Mexican people fear the cartels. Okay? That's how this works. That should have been your first hint about this. And again, we were talking about this when the previous Mexican president was running. Because the same thing happened then. Every time Mexico has an election, dozens and dozens of people are murdered, including dozens of candidates, because their culture is completely corrupt and accepts that level of corruption as normal. You'll notice that as we become more like Mexico, as our population becomes a greater and greater percentage of people from Mexico, you'll notice that our country is also entering into that cycle of corruption. It's what's being brought over here. It's what's being imported in with the people, is the mindset of the people. And the willingness, not just willingness to allow corruption, but active participation in the corruption. Now, I talk about this daily, it seems. Maybe too much, but it is like the overarching, you know, reality of what we're dealing with. And I saw Alex touch on this a little bit. It was the video of the Indian people in the airport lining up in wheelchairs. And it's sort of the perfect example of what I'm constantly talking about, although there are sort of two aspects of this that we'll get into as soon as I find my tweet about it. But if we can go to this video, we have the video of the clip number 25. Air India says that at this point, 30%, nearly a third of passengers on India-U.S. flights claim to be disabled. They claim to need a wheelchair. They claim to need mobility assistance, because if you need mobility assistance, you go to the front of the line. So then they claim to need mobility assistance, which not only is cheating, is just lying and cutting the line, it also is massively disadvantaging the people that actually do need help, who actually do have disabilities. They're being screwed over. And it creates a condition in which if you're not screwing the system, if you're not taking advantage of loopholes, if you're not exploiting things that aren't locked down with law, then you're an idiot, because everybody else is. So unless you want to be left behind, unless you want to be constantly disadvantaged, you will also participate in the immorality. So I've come up with a few phrases for this. Let's go first to the video. Here is just the sheer number of people claiming to be disabled so they can get on the flight a little bit earlier than everybody else. Let's watch. And the line just goes on and on and on and on and on. It really is incredible. Did I ask y'all to maybe I didn't ask y'all to print it out, so we'll just go to my Twitter. Do y'all have the computer screen now? So I'll just read along with it, but it'll be better if people can see it, because I have trouble. I want a phrase. I need a phrase. I need something that encapsulates what we're witnessing here. Something that's self-evident. It doesn't need to be explained. Like, these things can be just massively useful. And again, we explain this all the time when it comes to things like you know, the alt-right. On the surface, it just means the alternative right. It's people on the right that are the alternative to the establishment. I think that's a very useful term. It's actually kind of coming back into vogue now. People are using it now because it's enough time has gone past that it sort of dropped the association that it was saddled with. So like when Trump first started running and people were saying he was alt-right, it was like, yeah, that makes sense. That's a very good phrase. Neoliberal. Alt-right. Like it just, you get it immediately upon hearing it. So then they take this phrase that to me encapsulated just the entirety of the MAGA coalition. Again, just by definition, the alternative right. Okay, right wing, not establishment. That's us. That's all of us. That's Alex Jones and Steve Bannon and Donald Trump and whoever else. It describes all of us. But then that was a very powerful political force being manufactured. So they hijacked that phrase, said actually alt-right means literal Nazi. So now you can't be alt-right anymore. Then all of a sudden, you know, I couldn't be alt-right and whoever else is alt-right. And even though we differ on things, we're under the same banner because we're both right-wing and we both aren't satisfied with the establishment. Instead, it became fractured. And well, you can't all be the same thing. So, you know, you guys be the libertarian right and you guys be the, you know, whatever else right. And so you'll all be splintered and fractionalized. And again, I think that was deliberate. I think they understand the power of labels. They understand the power of words. And when you can destroy a label or a word, you can destroy the concept that comes along with it. So we're doing sort of the inverse here. We're trying to identify a word that can help us define what exactly we're talking about here. And I'm actually, again, I thought I had this printed out, and if the crew can find it, I retweeted that video and labeled it. I don't know. I don't even see it. I think Twitter messes with me. Sometimes my tweets just don't show up. Here it is. All right. I finally found it. Thank you, crew. So these are the phrases I came up with to define this phenomenon. And again, to describe exactly what I'm talking about here, I'm trying to describe the process by which vulnerabilities in a system are taken advantage of to such a degree that the original point of the benefit is destroyed. Right? In other words, there's a vulnerability in that if you say you're disabled, we're just going to believe you. That's a vulnerability. We're not going to force you to prove that you're disabled. You don't need a doctor's note. It's just the process is too heavy. And this is the thing. If you have people who are willing to lie like this and take advantage of vulnerabilities, and you can't have the vulnerability anymore, which means you have to actually, you know, create a system of law to like make it illegal. It's exhausting to have to do this. So many people take advantage of this vulnerability inaccurately. They don't actually qualify for it, but they say that they do to, you know, get a little bit of benefit. And so then the whole reason we have this vulnerability, the whole reason this system is set up is to benefit the disabled people. Not even to benefit them, but to actually make up for their disability. You go, well, you know, you're disabled. We ask you to do what everybody else does. That's really unfair to you. So we're going to set aside, you know, this nice thing that we do where we let you cut the line because we understand that's not your fault, you know, that you can't, you know, do things quite as physical as normal. Okay, fine. So we set that up. But then without a law, without a strict method of determining who really is disabled, then enough random old Indian ladies pretend to be disabled that the actual disabled people are completely screwed over. So that's the first aspect of this. But it's sort of a dual issue. Because not only do you have people taking advantage of the thing, asylum is the same thing. We talk about this over and over. But the other aspect is when a vulnerability like that is abused to the point that it becomes necessary to participate in the abuse in order to succeed. If everybody in your class is cheating, you better cheat, right? Because they're going to throw off the curve. And even if you would normally get a good grade, everybody else is getting such a good grade that your grade is going to be dropped down to a F. So it's like in order to succeed, you have to cheat. You have to participate in this. Or in the hospitality industry, so many hotels and hospitality institutions use illegal immigrant labor to keep their overhead down. In order to compete, you almost have to. It's cost prohibitive to pay decent wages because all of your competition is undercutting American workers and therefore with a, you know, significantly lower overhead. So to compete at all, you almost have to break the law. You have to participate in the scam. This is the path down which our country is headed. Quite rapidly, in fact. Okay, so here are the terms. Here are the terms I came up with to describe this phenomenon, this psychological phenomenon. Let me just say one more thing before I give you the list. I don't mean to be teasing you along like this, but I get a lot of comments from people that are like, why don't we just call it Indians, you know, Pajits, South Asian people being stupid. Like, it's like, you guys need to understand I'm not talking about this thing in particular. I'm not talking about the particular thing that airlines have this way that you can cheat and cut the line, and these particular Indians took advantage of this one thing. I'm talking about an idea that's happening. I'm talking about a concept that's occurring across the whole country that manifests in a million different occasions like this. A million different instances of people taking advantage of vulnerabilities to the extent that they no longer function the way they're supposed to. People need to be able to expand. I'm not talking about this one particular news story. You have to learn to start seeing news stories as merely symbolic in and of themselves. Symbolic, perhaps metaphorical, for the wider trend of collapse in trust, collapse in these systems, collapse in decency. Okay? That's just the last, it just annoys the crap out of me. When I show a video of something and saying, this is an instance of a trend, of a phenomenon, of a thing that we should identify. And it's like people are like, you mean Indian people? It's like, no, this is happening with everybody. It's happening almost by force, because even if you're not the type of person that's doing this, even if you were raised in a Western American Christian tradition where you're told you shouldn't cheat, not because you might get caught, not because we can actually understand second order effects, and we have honor and dignity, and we understand that cheating to win, you might as well just not even play. Again, I've explained this a bunch, where you've got a subset of people who will cheat and yet will stand there on the victory platform with the gold medal, literally thinking, I earned this. I deserve this. They know they cheated. They know they scammed, but it doesn't matter to them. Me, if I cheated and won, I would have to go, look, I didn't win. I would feel so wrong accepting a victory, accepting a trophy for something that I didn't actually achieve. It would disgust me internally about myself. I couldn't live with myself if that happened. Okay, so even if you're raised in a house like mine, in a community like mine, in a nation like mine, what happens when that nation becomes the minority in its own country? What happens when those people in that mindset and that character and that honor becomes overwhelmed by a bunch of scam artists, cheaters, cutting in line? You have to go along with them, or else you won't survive. Or you have to have the cultural superiority, cultural power, to punish the people that are taking advantage of your vulnerabilities. We seem unwilling or unable to punish this, and so we have to conform to it. I just hope we all understand. I'm talking about a trend in humanity, not a particular instance at a particular airport at a particular time. And this is just annoys the crap out of me. Here are the phrases I came up with to define this phenomenon. Compound exploitation. I think that's a good one, kind of like compound interest, right? The more exploitation there is, the more exploitation is inspired. Compound exploitation. Integrity collapse threshold. That's the point that you reach in which the lack of morals, the lack of ethics, the lack of integrity reaches that critical mass and forces everybody else to adopt that lack of integrity itself. I would also call this a manipulation cascade. Manipulation cascade. In other words, as one person starts to manipulate a system, other people start to manipulate that system like a snowball rolling down the hill. It gets worse and worse. I wanted to call it something like that because it's like a spectrum. It's not necessarily a threshold. There is a certain point that you get to where if most of your nation is immoral, then the rest of it becomes immoral. That's true. But in general, it's more like a spectrum or a continuum, where it just gets worse and 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 worse until everybody's a cheater and a scammer. But then the cheating and the scamming can always get worse. So there's not really a threshold necessarily. So that's why I said manipulation cascade. It's a process that occurs. It's a domino effect that once it starts going, you have to actively and violently intercede, or else it will continue on its own volition. virtue collapse continuum, another idea. The virtue collapse continuum, how far along the collapse we are is debatable, but we are clearly traveling away from virtue and towards collapse on this continuum. Maladaptive social influence. Okay, again, this is when you see other people getting away with crimes and it subtly or overtly affects your psychology to think it's okay to commit crimes. Vulnerability grifting. This might be one of my favorites. Vulnerability grifting. Again, goes back to what I described. Liberty is an unguarded cookie jar, right? It's a vulnerability. It's unlocked front doors and kids playing in the yard without parental supervision. It's leaving your bike outside of the store while you run in because it's not going to get stolen. That's a vulnerability. Okay? Our little vulnerabilities in our system is what makes it free. It's what makes it nice. And you cannot preserve that if you don't preserve the character of the people that brought that system about. So vulnerability grifting, right? They see a vulnerability instead of thinking, oh, that's nice. Oh, that's nice. Oh, they do a nice thing for disabled people. That's, I mean, it must be tough being a disabled person getting on a plane. I'm glad they helped them out with that. No, instead they think, so I can just pretend I'm disabled and I get that benefit too. And they don't even check, the idiots. No, you're taking advantage of a vulnerability that's going to have to go away now. Yeah, I got a few more. Flaw farming. That's another one. Sort of like vulnerability grifting, vulnerability farming, something like that. Where again, you're looking out, you're seeking out, you're trying to find flaws in the system to benefit yourself because you have no love of the system or the people involved in it. Courtesy hacking would be another one of these. You take something that's a courtesy and you hack it because you think you're smart, because you think you're clever. This is the idea of the Halloween bowl full of candy, says just take one, and people just scoop it all into their bag like idiots. It's like, okay, well, just permanently damage that person's trust in society. And she's not going to leave out a bowl of candy next year and you'll be empty handed, but it doesn't matter to you, does it? Or the, you know, Indian people fishing the salmon runs in Canada. You can only do that for about a year or two and then there's no more salmon and there's nothing else to fish. So again, do we need to have laws, you know, to prevent people from going out and fishing? I guess so. I guess so. You know, again, it's one of these things where, you know, libertarians will say, well, the problem is that the government shouldn't be providing, you know, you shouldn't have to get a fishing license anyway. I have to pay the government to go catch a fish. That's my God-given right. It's like, to a degree, yeah, I agree, in a utopia, in a perfect world, that's great. This world has Indians in it. We're fallen. We are capable of having these sorts of vulnerabilities with all these vulnerability grifters sneaking in to take advantage of this. Man, the crew's on top of it today. They're killing it. I love it. And then finally, we have exploitation snowball. The exploitation snowball, where once again, just like maladaptive social influence or the manipulation cascade, once the exploitation starts going, it grows and gets faster. And the faster it goes, the faster it grows. And the faster it grows, the faster it goes. So it just is a feedback loop that we have to decide to intervene in. And if people won't willingly and intelligently and with logic adopt our character and our morality because they recognize it's the best thing, then it's up to us. It's on us. It's our obligation to enforce it on everybody else. Because this isn't a preference. This is a fact. Our way is better. Our way built the world that they are currently destroying.
But when I tell you I need your prayers and your support and your word of mouth, I need it. And I don't want to go through long updates here, but they put in a month ago the state receiver. We got kicked out of the federal bankruptcy court. They're clear to come grab it. He's been in here every week. Doesn't really even talk. They say they're going to try to have a public auction, but we know the plaintiffs, the Democrats, don't want that. They don't want somebody to buy it that would keep this operation on air. So I don't really have any faith in that. We'll see what happens. And he isn't even talking to my lawyers and people, even though he's been up here in the last few weeks. So I don't know if they're going to come today and shut us down or next week or they're going to have an auction. I don't know. But that's the sword of Damocles hanging over this place. So there's an urgency there. We've survived so many times and all the other tricks. People say, oh, you'll survive this time. Well, maybe God comes through. Maybe that's God's plan. Fine. I just give it all to God. I'm going to keep broadcasting. And then the minute we get taken down, the Ollie Shields Network fires up. The satellites, the stations, all of it. Bigger studios getting built. A lot of stuff happening. But it takes money to do this. And I don't own the OliveShieldsStore.com. The bad guys don't have any claim on that. It's owned by Bigley. They fund InfoWars now as the main sponsor, and they fund the All Access Network. I need your support. And the products are incredible. We only bring you the best supplements that will change your life. Highest quality, highest rated, 2,000 milligram per scoop. Bovine colostrum, and we got the best. Methylene Blue, incredible, so good for you. 99% of people have incredible effects. It's literally over 99%. And it's energy with no letdown. It cleans out your cells. It's incredible. With all these studies about it, reversing Alzheimer's and the callers calling. I had glaucoma that went away, and I'm not making any of those claims. Just type in the incredible, ask ChatGPT or Grok about Methylene Blue. Get it now. Take the challenge. But take only like a quarter dropper when you first get it, because some people, like one of the crew members, thought he'd taken a hit of acid, basically. He was going crazy. He was, God, I'm hiring a guy. What the hell? He's like a whole dropper. And the first time you take it is when it really hits you. So, and if you're on serotonin reuptake inhibitors and stuff, you can't take it. It'll make you literally jump off a cliff. I mean, that's how strong it is, folks. So talk to your doctor. Look at the drugs you're on. Talk to him about it. Because this is not a freaking game, okay? I mean, and all these things work in synergy together. So here's the current big sale. CMOS gummies, a fan favorite. 93 vitamins and minerals and trace minerals and elements that work together synergistically. Buy one, get one free. Ends tonight. We've got yesterday's sheets. It ends tomorrow. Buy any bottle of CMOS gummies and get another bottle free. Our CMOS is incredible. Get yours at thealexjonesstore.com. And we need the funds. It's always like the widow's mite. Where we just have enough. And I can bring on extra sponsors and stuff, but I know when I direct sell you stuff and I know it's quality, I know you're going to love it. And all I got to do is get you off the fence and take your step into a wider world. God's watching. Support the broadcast, word of mouth, prayer, and financially if you can. Plus, these are products you really need. Everybody's got to get that. If you just do one thing and you've been on the fence, never supported us because less than 1% of anything of our millions of listeners. That's fine. Okay. 1% of you to go, man, this guy's info's dead on. Let me get a bottle of this. What are you out? You supported a great broadcast. TheAlexJonesStore.com and become a VIP. If you're going to get anything, you should be a VIP. It's $30 a month and instantly you're given $40 of credit. So you just go in when you're buying a couple products at checkout. You go, oh, I'm going to be a VIP. Bloop. Puts $30 on your tab. And then as soon as you run the transaction, you notice 40 goes off your tab. See? And then you get special deals, special offers on everything. Sometimes special products just for you. And you can win free vehicle, all of it. TheAlexJonesStore.com, become a VIP.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
All right, welcome back, folks. We're going to get into Jeffrey Epstein in this segment because I've got a lot of new videos to show you, including a breaking statement from President Trump on the whole thing. But I haven't actually watched it yet. Can the crew watch clip number 4 for me and tell me if it's real? Now with AI, I'm like, I did see this posted. It was right before the show. I haven't had a chance to watch it yet. So I assume this is really Trump's latest statement on Epstein. But it was posted by Luke Radowski, and he can be a tricky one. He's usually very solid, but sometimes he's sarcastic. And I didn't double check if this was sarcasm or not. So check clip number 4 for me, and we'll go to that. But we got all sorts of clips to go to about Epstein, including Thomas Massie questioning him in Congress earlier today. So we'll go to those in just a second. But let me just run through just the political stack here because all these stories are, well, they would all be worthy of an entire show. But we'll just blow through them in a couple seconds because that's all we have time for. From Amuse on X, Michigan AG coordinated with Democrat NGO to target Trump allies. 5,800 pages of a FOIA request requested by Judicial Watch show Michigan's AG worked closely with the State's United Democracy Center, founded by Norm Eisen, to push indictments against Trump electors, attorneys, and activists who challenged the 2020 election. Emails reveal multi-state strategies, shared action plans, and coordinated efforts to remove Trump from the 2024 ballot, despite the Supreme Court rejecting the 14th Amendment. And this was one of the women that we highlighted and, did reports on because there was a coalition of AGs that all coordinated and worked together long before Trump even announced he was running in 2024 to try to head him off at the pass. It was Jocelyn Benson and a number of others, and we've showed their interviews where they talk about how they were manipulating the election in order to stop Trump from being elected. They were, like, fairly open about their treason. I don't know why they're still out there. I don't know why Norm Eisen is still out there. He is, like, a kingpin in all of this. Norm Eisen is, like, one of the main, you know, minds behind the Russiagate collusion hoax, the attempt to strip Trump off the ballot in all these different states. I mean, he is, like, the lawfare kingpin, and he's still coordinating it to this day because the Trump administration isn't doing what it should be doing. It's not going after the people it should be going after. It's, in my opinion, completely failing to do what's necessary to get justice in this country. As Brandon Straka points out, by this point in Biden's first year, Merrick Garland's DOJ had already raided, arrested, and charged more than 650 Trump supporters, the most expansive political dragnet in modern U.S. history. They had pressured over 100 defendants into guilty pleas through aggressive stacking of charges, pretrial detention, and threat-driven tactics, and more than two dozen people were already sentenced. Democrats were nearly 5 months into their January 6th select committee, having subpoenaed thousands of documents and interviewed or deposed well over 100 people, building a massive one-sided investigative machine. By contrast, the Bondi DOJ has led to no meaningful arrest, no answers, and with statute of limitations expiring in a matter of weeks, no hope for justice for supporters of President Trump's whose lives were destroyed. Betrayed. We've been betrayed, is how I'd put it. And part of me is, like, looking at what's going on with Trump and, like, Marjorie Taylor Greene. And it's so despicable. It's so heinous and like, backhanded and just wrong what he's doing is. And those are the right words. Those are the right words. Nobody in the government has been a bigger defender of Donald Trump than Marjorie Taylor Greene, and she's paid the price for it. You can say what you want about Massey, because Massey sort of butted heads with Trump the entire time. And while I, you know, still definitely 100% support Massey, it's less objectionable when Trump is like, this Massey guy's always throwing wrenches in my works, and he gets more and more annoyed with them. That kind of makes sense. Marjorie Taylor Greene, however, I heard somebody say today, she's been, I think it was Clint Russell of Liberty Lock Pod, if I'm not mistaken. I'm pretty sure it's accurate, too. He's like, I think Marjorie Taylor Greene's been more supportive of Trump than his own family has. I mean, she's behind him on everything and out there fighting for him. There's this video going viral today of Marjorie Taylor Greene. I think it was back during COVID or something. Trump was trying to get something passed, and nobody would take Trump's calls. And Marjorie Taylor Greene is running around the floor of the Congress, shoving her phone in people's faces, going, Trump wants to talk to you. You need to talk to him. They were ignoring him. So she is like this dedicated Trump supporter who wants the Epstein list released and doesn't want our country taken over and controlled by a foreign state, Israel. So now he has gone after her with a vengeance, and it's despicable. Again, it's despicable, I think, to betray somebody like that. Well, on the other hand, you have people like Lindsey Graham, who has never been Trump's friend, never helped him out, never supported him in the first administration. And after January 6th, was one of the first to stand up and say everybody involved should be in jail and this was Trump's fault and, you know, he has to pay the price for it. So, you know, as we talk about all of the various influences and pressures that Trump faces, there's no excuse for this level of disloyalty. There's no excuse for this level of pandering to people who hate you and have screwed you over and over again. There really is just no excuse. So I don't want to hear any excuses, especially when you are doing absolutely nothing to rein in the people who you previously promised you would. I'm going to get into this a little bit later, but the final appeal has been denied for the killers of Ahmaud Arbery, Travis McMichael, William Roddy Bryan, and Gregory McMichael. Will spend the rest of their lives in prison with no possibility of parole, despite the fact that they're innocent. And so I want to get into this later, because I think I'm going to have to really get into this. It was so long ago, and I was like, I'm pretty sure I remember the details, but I wanted to double check So I went back and looked at the facts again because, you know, I don't want to get up and be like, you know, these men were lynched and, you know, we have to free them. And then it's like, wait, but didn't they, you know, and then I later find out like actually they were hunting people and it was really, that's not what happened. So I went back and looked just to confirm, just so I didn't go out on a limb without all the facts. And it was worse than I remember. It was significantly worse than I remember. And the lynching of these men by the entire American power structure is brutal and horrific, and we have to get into that. Trump video is legit. All right, we'll go to that in just a second. Just a few more things here. This, again, is from the same story I was just talking about. Senate Minority Leader Eric Nesbitt, a Republican, a candidate for governor, I believe in Michigan, is asking the Federal Department of Justice to oversee Michigan's 2026 election in which Secretary of State Jocelyn Benson, a Democrat, is running for governor. They say, we, the undersigned Republican members of the Michigan Senate and House of Representatives, are writing to formally request that the U.S. Department of Justice deploy election official monitors and provide comprehensive oversight for Michigan's 2026 primary and general elections. This request is made in light of the DOJ's recent precedent of monitoring elections in other states to ensure compliance with federal voting rights laws and to protect the integrity of the electoral process. Our concern center on Michigan of state Jocelyn Benson, who, as the state's chief election official, will oversee the 2026 election while simultaneously appearing on the ballot as a candidate for governor. This creates an inherent and unavoidable conflict of interest as Secretary Benson will be administering an election in which she has a direct personal stake in the outcome. Such a situation risks compromising the impartiality required for election oversight and demands external federal scrutiny to maintain public trust. I would also add that she very openly has a literal track record of screwing over elections and bending the election rules to benefit her. It's like how I know her name is because she was made famous when like Zoom calls were leaked, where she is describing exactly how she was doing this, trying to mount a legal opposition to Trump before he ever even announced his election by trying to forcibly remove him from the ballot because they claimed that he violated the 14th Amendment, where that was written so that Confederate generals weren't appointed by the president to powerful positions. And so they say, because we say he participated in an insurrection, then therefore he's not allowed to run for, you know, office ever, which was it's so far beyond. It's like, for one thing, this was for literally generals who had fought against the American government, literal insurrectionists who waged a multi-year war against the American government. That's who it was meant for. So it doesn't apply to this anyway. Then he was never convicted of an insurrection. So you can't saddle him with the punishment for a crime that he didn't commit. Okay, so it's wrong for that reason. It's also wrong because it's not even about running for elections. It was about presidential appointments. So it was really about if a Southerner gets elected, they didn't want them, you know, putting Robert E. Lee as the Secretary of Defense or whatever. So it was about appointments, not elections. It was for Soviet or Civil War generals. And it doesn't apply to Trump in any way at all because he wasn't an insurrectionist ever. So she's already shown not just a willingness to consider bending the rules of elections to benefit her side. She has actively participated in this, had to be slapped down by the Supreme Court. How she's now running for governor, well, it's because she did that other thing, right? Because the powers that be wanted to try to block Trump. She participated in that unsuccessfully. However, her commitment to the globalist scum trying to destroy our country has elevated her position to now she's running for governor. Federal officials confirm officers have begun Charlotte immigration enforcement. And I'd like to say something here that I don't think you're going to believe. So I went to a specifically local news story from a local outlet. I'm going to read it verbatim. So you can't say this is from InfoWars. You can't say this is from a right winger. This is the official numbers here. Prepare yourself. It's crazy. The federal government had not previously announced the push, but Mecklenburg County Sheriff Gary McFadden said earlier this week that two federal officials had told him that customs agents would be arriving soon. Charlotte is a racially diverse city of more than 900,000 residents, including more than 150,000 who were foreign born. 900,000 residents, 150,000 of them are foreigners. Yeah, that's insane. That's insane. That is replacement migration in full force. Again, it's just nuts. It's just nuts. What would that be? 150 times 2 would be 300,000 times 6. So 1/6 of the residents, about? Something like that? Divide 900,000 by 150,000. Sounds like about 1/6 to me. Leftists impede deportations operation in North Carolina. Border Patrol commander says this is our effing country. That story from Infowars.com is yes, despite, well, again, I got to choose my words here. I was going to say despite, you know, over a tenth of their city being foreigners, they're out protesting the removal of the illegal ones. But no, that's exactly why. No, it's because it is a city occupied by foreigners that are now rebelling against the lawful authorities, the federal government, from deporting people who are here illegally. The Trump administration will require SNAP participants to reapply for benefits. So this, I think, is great. This is a nice sort of Gordian knot cutting where the scams are so ubiquitous, the fraud is so rampant that you want to just cut the whole system entirely. And then people are going to like be really mad. So instead you just go, you know what? You're all off and you have to reapply. And then they're going to go through those reapplications to determine that they're real. I think this is actually a very intelligent and, you know, well thought out solution. I just want to see them carry it off with aggressiveness. NYC knockoff vendors back with a vengeance after just weeks after dramatic ICE raid. So you remember this, and on Canal Street in New York City, there are these dozens of African men selling counterfeit or stolen goods, and Savannah Hernandez identified it and said, hey, the Border Patrol should go after these guys. And the next day, they rounded them up and put them in prison. Well, now they're back, apparently. Sunday, fewer than 2 days later, there were as many as 100 of the rogue sellers back at it, pushing counterfeit goods laid out on blankets on the sidewalk between Lafayette and Center Street, some attracting long lines of customers looking to get their hands on an imitation Chanel bag or iPhone. While the threat of police and even immigration crackdowns hasn't been enough to thwart that pesky curbside business, a deep paranoia has taken hold among the sellers since last week's raid. They're paranoid, that's for sure, explained a former shoe hawker named Django, 56, who said he now acts as a mentor to the younger sellers. You go in there and tell them immigration is here and they'll disappear, not run, but disappear. Hey, guys, I'm not the one telling you to do it. Look, I would never tell anybody to do something so rude, so very rude. But old Django says it could be really fun to go down to Canal Street and yell immigration is there and watch them all run. And then film it and put it on X and send it to me. That could be very fun. I like that. I like that fun game we could play. I think you just send them back. I mean, it's almost like a deer feeder, you know, or like a, you know, some sort of trap. It's like you clear them out, you arrest all the guys, you throw them in prison. 2 days later, 100 more guys show up, you capture them, throw them away, and like they just keep spawning like a video game. It's amazing. So clearly they're not taking immigration enforcement seriously. And I wonder if the people that are there selling the stuff now aren't the same people that were arrested 2 weeks ago, because it doesn't seem like anybody actually gets punished for the crimes they commit in this country, unless they're white guys who didn't commit a crime. Then they're punished with the full force and weight of the entire American law. And finally, we have this. I'm going to try not to spend too long on this, but very rarely in our coverage do we get an example so black and white, so stark, so impressive. Examples of the Republican Party deliberately, on purpose, by choice, they make a decision to lose. Okay? It's an undercurrent. It's a phenomenon that we see manifest constantly. Republicans just gifted victory on a platter, and they turn their noses up at it. They are allergic to winning, and it's a cliche. It's like overdone at this point. It's like too much. You hear it all the time. This example beats them all in a way that is genuinely baffling beyond comprehension. Indiana Republican senators reject Trump's redistricting push will not convene in December. So right now, there's multiple states that are eligible for redistricting, which means that the people in charge can change the congressional districts. And the whole reason that the congressional districts is as they are now is because through the civil rights movement, they like carved out racially exclusive areas so that, you know, black people could have their own representative in this area. So like the congressional districts that exist now are specifically and explicitly designed on the basis of race. And the Supreme Court has recently decided that it shouldn't be that way. So you have multiple states who have the ability to redistrict. Texas, California, Indiana, there's a number of other ones. If you take all of the seats that they could redistrict and reconfigure, if all of the Republican states do it and all of the Democrat states do it, the Republicans come out on top with like 5 or 10 extra seats. And the, you know, people in California can remove a couple Republican seats, but they won't gain nearly as much as we will if we do the same thing. So this is something they can do that's legal, that's actually good. They actually should redraw the congressional maps on a regular basis with how quickly changing our country is. It's a layup. It's a tee ball. It's a tee ball sitting on a tee waiting to be knocked out of the park. No barrier, no limitation, no obstacle to this. And they just choose not to do it. They're just choosing not to. Like last week, I used the metaphor of Republicans are a baseball team that refuses to do anything but bunt, right? And they strike out half the time anyway. They'll never swing away. They'll never go for the fences. They never give it their all. They want to always play it safe, which means they are always out at first, every single time. Hey, but their batting average is super high. They just, you know, never actually succeed. They always hit the ball, although they don't. Actually, they strike out half the time. Anyway, it's a great metaphor. It's very accurate. But this is worse. This is T-ball. This is they walk up to the ball on the tee and they bunt. This is them bunting during T-ball. They nudge the ball off the tee and then hobble their way to first base and get out and go, whew, gave it my all. Swing away, you absolute moron. So, again, never have I seen such a blatant and outrageous example of Republicans deliberately abandoning a victorious fight. I mean, you could look at right now with what's happening with MAGA and everything. I mean, that's sort of a similar line, but there's still debate there. There's still some nuance there. This is not nuance. This is not subtle. This is very simple. If Republicans choose to redistrict, then they gain congressional seats. They're just not doing it. They're choosing not to. There's no reason to choose not to. They just want to lose. Literally, they just want to lose. Senate State President Pro Tem Roderick Bray announced Friday they were rejecting President Trump's push for congressional redistricting, a move immediately blasted by Governor Mike Braun and Trump allies. The Senate President Pro Tem said in a statement Friday afternoon that the Senate will not take up the issue, as was expected in an unusual December session, saying, quote, over the last several months, Senate Republicans have given very serious and thoughtful consideration to the concept of redrawing our districts, our state's congressional maps, Bray said. Today, I'm announcing that there are not enough votes to move forward on that idea, and the Senate will not reconvene in December. Indiana lawmakers were scheduled to meet on December 1st to consider redrawing more Republican-leaning U.S. House districts ahead of next year's midterm elections, following a month-long pressure campaign by the Trump administration and his supporters. If the decision by the Senate Republicans stand, Indiana would become the first GOP-led state to outright turn down Trump's wish to squeeze out more Republican-friendly congressional seats ahead of the 2020 term midterm elections. See, this would be like the inverse of the phenomenon I was talking about last time. It's not exactly adequate, but like when I'm describing that you have immoral people that will take advantage of a vulnerability, will take advantage of a whatever, and if you don't do it, you're a sucker, because eventually enough people do it, and then you're an idiot for doing the right thing. You're an idiot for not cheating because everybody else is. You kind of have to. there's a nuance to this in that if you want to have a world where that doesn't happen, you might have to participate in it for the time being in order to get the power you need to stop it from happening. You know what I mean? But it's different here because this isn't even a vulnerability that's being exploited. It's just a thing you have the option to do if you want. And you have all the reasons in the world to do it. Not least of which is the president needs backup in the Congress to actually pass things so that all of his executive orders don't just get undone by the next president that comes in. Or reversed, or, you know, applied to a different set of people who suddenly now Trump supporters are domestic terrorists in the same way that Trump declared Antifa domestic terrorists. Like, you have to do what's necessary to win so that your morality can be the great morality. But these people are just refusing to do it outright. But what they're refusing to do is not wrong. What they're refusing to do is perfectly legal, perfectly valid. It is just an option that they could do if they wanted, and they're just choosing not to. It is retarded. So again, if you want to talk about all these other things that Republicans get wrong, you can at least make an argument as to why they might think it might be a good idea. There's no reason not to do this. The Democrats are doing this. They are doing it. California voted, it passed, they are redistricting. They are giving themselves more Democratic candidates. And so the Republicans are seeing the Democrats do this and just going, we don't want to do that. We don't want to. We'll let them get more seats, but we'll exclude ourselves from that process. Why? Why? We are rooting for a team that has somehow been convinced it is immoral to hit the ball. They can't explain it. It's not immoral. It's the way you win the game. But they won't do it. And they're like pointing to the other team and going, can you believe these guys are smacking the crap out of that ball? I can't believe it. It's like, but that's how you win. That's what you're supposed to do. They're like, well, morally, I couldn't be okay with that. I have a moral compunction against taking shortcuts like hitting the ball while playing baseball with a bat as the batter. I mean, it's just, okay. Great. I guess we'll lose then. I guess our country will go down the drain because you have been given the key to the city and you're dropping it down the gutter. Absolute morons. Oh my God.
You can judge a man by the enemies he dares to defy. He stands against those who would chain the voice of freedom, battling shadowy forces that seek to silence truth. He rises against those who would disarm the people, a lone sentinel guarding the rights of the many. Through the fire of unjust legal warfare, he fights. Not for himself, but for those who cannot. Stripped of wealth, betrayed by systems, yet driven by an unyielding hunger for justice. On the altar of truth, he swears an oath, enduring relentless assaults, slander, schemes, and ceaseless attacks.
InfoWars just lost their war on info.
InfoWars is shutting down.
And he remains unbroken, unbowed, unstoppable. His enemies thought they could crush him, thought they could bury his resolve. They were wrong. From the ashes of their lies, he rises stronger. A beacon of defiance in a world of shadows. His enemies reveal his strength, his courage, his heart. But this fight is not his alone. It belongs to every soul who yearns for truth, who dares to stand tall. Will you join him? Will you rise against the tide of tyranny? For a man is not defined by the enemies he faces, but by the fire he carries within. Stand with him. Fight for truth. The battle begins now.
Forged in the fires of liberty, the Alex Jones Network Live app stormed to number one in Apple's trending news apps. Big tech tried to bury it, but freedom's flame can't be extinguished. AJN Live delivers raw truth, uncensored broadcasts, hard-hitting reports, and live alerts the elites dread. Don't let censorship win. Download now. Stand tall. Join the fight. AJN Live, forged by liberty, powered by truth.
It is a report that concludes that the United States' official foreign policy, signed into law in 1975 by President Ford. And when I say signed into law, it's called a presidential directive, is the reduction of population in 12 specific foreign countries. Not the control of population, the reduction of population. And so it explains the ways we're going to do this is through medicalizing birth control. Never was before. You didn't need a doctor to get a condom. And to go around and talk to villages everywhere and say, you want a reproductive health freedom, don't you? You know what most women want on the planet Earth? Babies. They're not looking for reproductive health freedom was a term for have fewer babies, right? There is a very potent move in official U.S. foreign policy to reduce population in other countries. Now, why Philippines or Indonesia? Why? They state it directly in the Kissinger Report because it's classified. They wanted to reduce those countries' development so that they wouldn't need their own raw materials because we want them. The metals, et cetera. It is dark as shit, the Kissinger Report. It's not classified anymore. You can, you know, ask ChatGPT about it to give you quotes from it. And so this whole business of population reduction is now another third rail I'm stepping on, right? Nobody wants it. What are you, you nuts? No, a lot of people want it. A lot of people believe, obviously including Bill Gates, that 8 billion people was the number where we must turn it around, which is where we are supposedly now. And the Kissinger Report, I was a kid. I didn't write it. I didn't make it up. You can find it on Wikipedia. It's a real thing. And all the presidential directives that came from it. Would these countries like the idea that we show up and we say, hey, we've got a new tetanus vaccine for you, but it happens to also have in it, secretly, something that will reduce fertility in your women, as we did in India, as we did in Peru. In both India and Peru, we also did forced sterilization surgeries. U.S. paid for them. True story.
So the one vaccine was the DTP vaccine? Is that what it was?
The one I'm talking about?
The one that had HCG in it?
It was just tetanus.
But there was a vaccine that was in Bobby Kennedy's book where they were talking about women in Africa where they were unknowingly given this vaccine against
That's correct.
Diphtheria, tetanus.
Well, it was the tetanus part that they were pitching. And by the way, tetanus is a challenge in those countries more than it is in the United States. But yeah, they were calling them wellness drugs.
And but they had HCG in it.
That's correct.
HCG, and they were more administered to women than they were to men.
Oh, of course. And there were five. They would administer five of the injections.
And they did it under the narrative was that women were more vulnerable. So you have to give the vaccination to women.
Yeah.
And it was preventing them from getting pregnant.
And they had World Health Organization, which basically has this as a mission. Man, I wish they would sue me for saying this, but they have this as a mission, which is population reduction from the beginning. They had worked on that HCG.
Well, Gates famously was in a speech saying, we can do that with vaccines.
Yeah. By the way, in the Kissinger Report, for those of you not seeing this and only hearing it, that was me drinking, that pause was me drinking water. I did not have a stroke. In the Kissinger Report, they list the strategies and how much funding they'll give to each strategy. One of the strategies is to medicalize birth control, meaning have trusted people in the villages, et cetera. Another one is to pay young men to have a vasectomy, just outright pay, you know, write a check in villages. So they get $60 and they get a nice weekend of buying beer, but they never have kids. But another one of them is injections that temporarily reduce male fertility. Now, here's an interesting thing about that one. It's in the Kissinger Report. Injections that temporarily reduce male fertility. The COVID vaccine reduces sperm count in men for 3 months, admitted by Fauci. It's not a secret. But the CDC's response was, yeah, but it's only for 3 months. But they were asking us to take one every fucking 3 months.
Well, also the miscarriages.
Well, miscarriages and stillbirths. My point is that it's no surprise that these persistent thoughts that I think good people believe, meaning I think there are good people who believe that population reduction is important. The fact is, of course, that now we are barely at replacement value right now in terms of many populations.
Harrison, Listen, I am so excited to talk to you. I want to plug that Irish Sea Moss was a big game changer for me. I was having a lot of, like, thermoregulation issues, like morning severe chills and cold in the morning. Hmm. All that stopped with the Sea Moss because it's a thyroid issue. And the Sea Moss has that iodine to heal your thyroid.
Isn't that amazing?
The Methylene Blue. Yeah, the Methylene Blue, life-changing. I love it. I don't need caffeine anymore. Like, it's amazing, but I'm trying to be quick.
It's all right. Hey, when you're plugging, we got all the time in the world.
I love his supplement formula. I am an acupuncturist. I have a master's degree in Chinese medicine, and he's got some really good formulas put together, and they work really well. I really appreciate it. I stopped taking all of my other stuff that I was taking, and I just take a lot of you guys' stuff. I mean, because I love you and I want to support everything you guys are doing, but the formulas are good.
You can only find out for yourself what effects these things will have. TheAlexJonesStore.com. That's IMA. Friend of the show, IMA. Little song about Epstein's list, saying you're never going to get it. Well, that's probably true. Of course, there is no list. There is a ton of evidence that was gathered. There were hard drives and boxes full of CDs and infinite amounts of documents and emails, and all that stuff was collected by the FBI, but also exists in Israel, where Epstein was an agent. Now, Trump has reversed his position on Epstein again. I'll say again, because he was always one of the people revealing what was going on with Epstein. In fact, maybe we'll start off with that, because I've got the latest thing he said about Epstein. But let's go all the way back. And this is kind of shocking because of how young Trump looks here. This was in 2015, clip number one, back when he was just lowly presidential candidate Donald Trump. He was the one talking about Epstein Island. He was the one saying it should be looked into. This is in 2015 when hardly anybody knew about this except for us, and we'd been reporting on it for 20 years at that point. But here's Donald Trump in 2015 talking about the island when nobody else would. Let's watch.
You raised the question of Jeffrey Epstein in your remarks about in the Q&A.
Well, I think he's got a problem. I mean,
what do you think
I'm
the problem will be?
I don't know, but that island was really a cesspool. There's no question about it. Just ask Prince Andrew. He'll tell you about it. The island was an absolute cesspool. So
the Clintons are friends
and he's
of
been
yours,
there
right?
for many times.
The Clintons are friends.
Well,
yours.
I can't say friends, but I know
you're
them.
Friendly. You know them. Well,
they
you,
play at my clubs a lot. I have clubs, and everybody likes to play.
Are you
at
saying
my clubs.
There's a political problem for her if she runs for president?
It could be a political problem. Look, he could be a political problem.
If
right now,
she runs
he's
for
Teflon,
president.
And right now, maybe not. But he could end up being a political.
I want to ask one question.
So he was just asked if this would be a problem for Hillary Clinton if she runs for president. Meaning this was early on in 2015. This is before she even officially announced. Donald Trump is saying the island is a cesspool. Ask Prince Andrew about that. This is why it's been so baffling. This is why this whole thing has been just utterly bizarre. Remember, I was told personally when I was on Alex Stein's show last year, he also had a victim of Jeffrey Epstein. She was introduced to Bill Clinton by Jeffrey Epstein. Or I'm sorry, it was the other way around, because it was Bill Clinton introducing Jeffrey Epstein as, quote, the king of America. Bill Clinton was his best friend. Other transcripts from the court proceedings and from the investigations and interviews, when asked about who else they should be talking to, most of the victims said Bill Clinton was the number one guy. Jeffrey Epstein and Bill Clinton. And Bill Clinton was his, like, number one operative, victim, whatever. Donald Trump brings this up during the campaign. Donald Trump doubles down when he's asked about it. And I know we all are in 1984 memory hole world. I somehow have avoided the mind wipe virus. It seems to hit everybody else because I had to go to Grok. I literally asked Grok, am I crazy? Because I seem to remember little under a decade of Democrats pretending that Epstein didn't even exist. Okay? Yeah, Epstein had sex tapes of Prince Andrew and Bill Clinton. They say Bubba's not Clinton. You guys want to know the truth? You guys know already? Well, it's not the truth. Do you want to know the other rumor? Y'all know? Ghislaine Maxwell had a horse named Bubba. Now, I'm not saying that's the case. I'm not saying that's who they're talking about. But look it up. Ghislaine Maxwell had a horse named Bubba. It's not what I'm saying. But it could be. But it might be. So I seem to remember a decade in which the Democrats criticized even the idea that Epstein existed or that, you know, pedophilia in the elite circles was even a thing. Like things like this. So Stephen King on November 15th, 2 days ago, says, look, it's pretty simple. If the Epstein files don't incriminate Trump, why won't he release them? People respond to this with his post from earlier this year, back in July of 2025, saying the Epstein client list is real, so is the Tooth Fairy and Santa Claus. It doesn't even exist. You're an idiot for believing such a thing exists, but now it does exist and it trumps on it. And so it has to be released. They spent 10 years downplaying, covering it up, hiding, disguising, or conflating Jeffrey Epstein with QAnon conspiracy theories about Pizza Hut and whatever. Yeah, I don't know. They say it's a fake headline. I don't know. So again, I mean, from the beginning, this has been so baffling with Cash Patel and Dan Bongino coming out and saying, yeah, nothing to see here, folks. Move along. He killed himself and he trafficked people to nobody. With Donald Trump saying, who is this person? This Democrat hoax? Democrats refuse to acknowledge it even existed until Trump decided he didn't care. And then now all of a sudden they're in on it. Crazy. So let's talk about what's happening now. Trump tells Republicans to vote to release Epstein files in reversal of previous stance. Donald Trump has urged his fellow Republicans in Congress to vote for the release of the files related to the late convicted sex offender Jeffrey Epstein, reversing his previous resistance to such a move. President Trump's Truth Social platform post came after the House Speaker Mike Johnson said he believed a vote on releasing Justice Department documents in the Epstein case should help put an end to the allegations that Trump had something to do with it. It's like we just don't care about Trump having anything to do. This is not what it's about. And for the record, I still don't believe they have anything on Trump. In fact, the emails that they've released seem to show exactly that. The emails that have been released have them saying, oh, Donald is the dirtiest one of them all. And people are using this like it helps their case. There's no, you know, Trump's the dog that hasn't barked. And I've dealt with a lot of, you know, bad people, but Trump's up at the top of the list. And people are using that like it hurts Trump. You realize the person you're quoting is a pedophile human trafficker, international spy, right? Do you get that? And that people that they think are bad are good people in the same way that murderers think cops are bad? And so when you have a career criminal in organized crime, sex trafficking rapist, saying Trump is really dangerous to him, to himself. That's a good thing about Trump. So even the emails they released, they try to claim, you know, showed Trump had a close relationship with Epstein. They show exactly the opposite. That these guys were desperate to try to either get Trump to bite. The dog won't bite, right? The fish won't bite. We put the bait out, but he won't snatch it up. So we don't have anything on him, which makes him dangerous because we can't control him with our blackmail. That's what they were saying. And like, how do people not realize this? I guess because Trump has been so freaking weird about it the whole time. And maybe he's using the leverage. We do have J.D. Vance saying things like, in order to get the peace deal in the Middle East, we had to use our leverage against Israel. Maybe that was it. But like, long story short, just understand, Jeffrey Epstein was a Israeli agent. He was a Mossad agent. He was closely tied into the former Prime Minister Ehud Barak, whose underling, who is a literal spy, spent weeks on end at Jeffrey Epstein's house. He was in close contact with Larry Summers and Reid Hoffman and a number of other major, you know, Zionist kingpins in America. And they operated a sophisticated, very, very widespread entrapment scheme where they would seduce rich people into either having sex with underage women or doing things that are much, much, much worse. I'm glad Alex got into this on his show today. I was kind of planning on it, but I think he covered it better than I could. The idea that, like, people around are going, what, so these were 17-year-olds that he flew to an island and worked for him? Like, what's the big deal? What's the big deal? I mean, after all, there are some states where the, you 17 is old enough to have sex with adults, and it's not even a crime. Like, they're trying to, like, downplay this, and it's like, what do you people not understand? First of all, it was way, 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 way weirder and grosser and creepy than all of that. They would take the girls' passports, right? I mean, they were slaves. They were sex slaves. That's what they were. Plus, they were doing, like, experiments, and he was trying to, like, change people's DNA. I mean, the whole thing was creepy and gross. It goes way, 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 way deeper than, like, you know, getting massages on an island from an underage girl. They kill people. They do things that, you know, people really don't want out there. I mean, hell, there was a, you know, the thing about Trump and Bubba, it's like, do y'all remember, like, 5 years ago, there was a member of parliament in the UK and came out, he'd had sex with a pig? That's the blackmail. Wasn't it like David Cameron? Like, I'm pretty sure it was their prime minister. Careful when you're searching what I just said, but search it because it's true. That's the type of blackmail they have on people. So this idea of people are like trying to downplay who Epstein was, it's sick and gross. And again, the whole thing, it's really not that complicated, really. It's sort of baffling why Trump's doing what he's doing. There's a couple options as to why he's been so weird about this the whole time. But I don't think any of them have to do with him actually, you know, being under their thumb. TV series imagined a Black Mirror, a storyline where the prime minister gets intimate with a pig. No, it's real. It's not the first time David Cameron, a pig's head in a secret society at Oxford, explained. Yeah, no, it's real. Yeah, Black Mirror had an episode based on it, but it was real. That's the blackmail. Secret societies at Oxford. Have you heard what goes on in Skull and Bones? That type of stuff? So can we get into the details, but it's just like, just this is just how it works. This is just who runs our government, okay? Now, we have Trump's latest comments on Epstein. We'll go to those now. Clip number four. This was just about 20 minutes before our show began. Trump gave this answer when asked about Epstein. Let's go to clip number four now.
We're going to vote on tomorrow. I just want to be super clear on your position. Do you want to see that pass the Senate? Would you sign that bill if it gets to your desk?
I do want to say, here's what I want. We have nothing to do with Epstein. The Democrats do. All of his friends were Democrats. You look at this Reid Hoffman, you look at Larry Summers, Bill Clinton, they went to his island all the time, and many others, they're all Democrats. All I want is I want for people to recognize the great job that I've done on pricing, on affordability, because we brought prices way down, but they go way lower, on energy, on ending 8 wars, and another one coming pretty soon, I believe. We've done a great job, and I hate to see that deflect from the great job we've done. So I'm all for it. You know, we've already given 50,000 pages. You do know that. Unfortunately, like with the Kennedy situation, with the Martin Luther King situation, not to put Jeffrey Epstein in the same category, but no matter what we give, it's never enough. You know, with Kennedy, we gave everything and it wasn't enough. With Martin Luther King, we gave everything and it's never enough. We've already given, I believe the number is 50,000 pages, 50,000 pages. And it's just a Russia, Russia, Russia hoax as it pertains to the Republicans. Now, I believe that many of the people that we, some of the people that we mentioned are being looked at very seriously for their relationship to Jeffrey Epstein. But they were with him all the time. I wasn't. I wasn't at all. And we'll see what happens. What I just don't want Epstein to do is detract from the great success of the Republican Party, including the fact that the Democrats are totally blamed for the shutdown. You know, they cost our country hundreds of billions of dollars with that, at a lot of inconvenience. So I'm for any, I don't, they can do whatever they want. We'll give them everything. Sure I would. Let the Senate look at it. Let anybody look at it. But don't talk about it too much, because honestly, I don't want to take it away from us. It's really a Democrat problem. The Democrats were Epstein's friends, all of them. And it's a hoax. The whole thing is a hoax. And I don't want to take it away from really the greatness of what the Republican Party has accomplished over the last period of time.
Yep. Mr. President, on affordability.
It's just so bizarre. It's just, I just don't get it. It's so bizarre because it's like, how would this distract from the great things Republicans are doing? This would be a great thing to do. What? If you, and it's like, it's all your enemies. What are you talking about? It's like, well, the economy's great, and the you know, he stopped all these wars, and he stopped the fentanyl trafficking, and he closed the border. But unfortunately, he arrested and rounded up the high-level elite pedophile ring. You know, it's really put a black mark, really overshadows all the good that he's done, rounding up the human traffickers that sold our country out to cover up their own disgusting deeds. It's like, how would this be a bad thing is what I'm trying to explain. How, like, it just doesn't make any sense. It would be the best thing your administration has done so far. Don't talk about it too much. What? Okay. That's just, that's dumb. It's weird. It just doesn't make any sense. Just doesn't make any sense. Especially when the Democrats are not just intimately involved. I mean, again, you know, we see a lot of crazy stuff on this show. Cover a lot of crazy stuff. But it's all getting crazier continuously. So this is another example where, as much as we'll use it as a metaphor or just, you know, make claims and it's true when we say it, but for Democrats to be puppets in general is kind of just a thing that you say, and there's examples where it certainly looks like that. There's never, in my experience, been a more clear-cut example of this, where you have a delegate from the U.S. Virgin Islands who helped cover up Jeffrey Epstein's entire operation, right? His island was in the Virgin Islands, Little St. James. And by the way, the Bahamas and Little St. James, like, the reason those places exist is to launder money for wealthy Jews. I'm just putting it out there for you. And other people too. But mostly, there's all sorts of different places you can go. The Virgin Islands, the Bahamas, it's Israelis. Billions, trillions of dollars. Doesn't matter. She is questioning somebody in Congress, and she is being given talking points in real time by Jeffrey Epstein. In real time. Rapid Response 47 on X. Why aren't Democrats talking about the fact that Delegate Stacey Plaskett, Democrat from the U.S. Virgin Islands, solicited and was given $30,000 from Epstein for the DCC after he already was a convicted sex offender, or the fact that Plaskett herself accepted maxed out donations from Epstein for her own campaign, or the fact that the wife of the former Democrat governor of the U.S. Virgin Islands told Epstein he would, quote, have a friend in Stacey if he made said donations, or the fact that Plaskett was literally texting Epstein during a committee hearing. Let's go now to clip number two. Washington Post was nice enough to actually line up the time code so you can see the text message this woman was receiving, and then she immediately asks the question that Jeffrey Epstein prompted her to ask. So when you talk about the Democrats being involved, literal puppet, Epstein's questions, Epstein's words coming out of her mouth, directed in real time like a puppet with on his hand, saying the things that he is saying through her. Crazy crap. Let's go to clip number two now.
Jeffrey Epstein was texting a Democrat member of Congress during a committee hearing, feeding her information, which she then used as part of her questioning. And the Washington Post has synced up the video footage with the timestamps on the text messages that were sent. And I'm going to show you the video right now, and it is insane. Watch this with me.
This was when Barack Obama was president of the United States. And while we were once driving through a struggling neighborhood in Chicago, he commented that only black people could live that way. Attorney-client privilege, yes, I will turn it over.
You, as my friend Mr. Meadows pointed out, misled this committee even today in a written submission that contradicted your testimony. You have suggested you are going to review that. Did you review? Are you going to review it in our next break to correct the record, yes or no?
Yes.
Question, I'm up next. Is that an acronym? She doesn't even, she's talking about Corona and she doesn't get it.
Spokesman, even in your words today,
is that an acronym?
Your idea for the campaign dating back to 2011. That's his assistant. I was talking about assistant. Is that accurate? Yes or no?
Yes.
Corona.
Mr. Weisenberg and other individuals, Ms. Rona, who are those individuals? Are they with the Trump Organization?
They are.
Are there other people that we should be meeting with?
So, Alan Weisenberg is the chief financial officer.
Uh-huh. You got to quickly give us as many names as you can so we can get to them.
Yes, ma'am.
Is Ms. Rona, what is Ms. Rona's
position? Rona Graff is the Mr. Trump's executive assistant.
And would she be able to corroborate many of the statements that you've made here?
Yes, she was, her office is directly next to his, and she's involved in a lot that went on.
All right. So let's just pause real quick. So, again, delegate from Virgin Islands where he has his island. Texting him in real time saying, quick, I'm up next. Tell me what to ask. He says, ask about this Rona woman. She immediately asks and gets a pat on the head from him as he texts her. Good job. Good work. Let's go back to the video. There's more of this.
Well, that was crazy. Did you see that? Jeffrey Epstein texted her good work when she like that means that Jeffrey Epstein was watching that hearing at home trying to pull strings. Mike Johnson has said there's going to be a vote on it this week of whether or not they're going to release the files. So if we see the files, there's going to be a lot of stuff like this. And I know people think that it's weird that Trump hasn't wanted to release it or he hasn't talked about it too much. In my personal opinion, if there was something truly damaging about Trump in these files, I wholeheartedly believe that we would have found out about it a long time ago. Furthermore, I also don't think that he would have been talking about it as much as he did over the years. Talking about Bill Clinton, talking about the island, and blah, 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 blah. Like, generally speaking, if you're caught up in something, you keep your mouth shut about it, like, across all time. But he was very vocal about it for a time. So then the question becomes, why hasn't he been pushing for the release? And the answer is, I really don't know, actually.
It, of course, has to do with Israel and the pressure that that Israel is wielding. It's really not all that complicated. That's why they're going after Thomas Massie. That's why they're going after Marjorie Taylor Greene. Thomas Massie's forcing this vote. And when we get back on the other side, I will tell you about what is being planned with this from now on and how it is being set up to, again, be destroyed through the manipulation of the courts. I haven't even told you yet today, CMOS gummies are buy one, get one free on thealexjonesstore.com. This sale ends tomorrow, November 17th at midnight. Do not wait. Get any bottle of CMOS gummies and you get another bottle absolutely free. Immune support, natural energy boost. It's a digestion aid, a detox cleanse. It promotes joint support and healthy skin and hair. They really are an incredible superfood and they taste great. Get yours today, thealexjonesstore.com.
But when I tell you I need your prayers and your support and your word of mouth, I need it. And I don't want to go through long updates here, but they put in a month ago the state receiver. We got kicked out of the federal bankruptcy court. They're clear to come grab it. He's been in here every week, doesn't really even talk. They say they're going to try to have a public auction, but we know the plaintiffs, the Democrats, don't want that. They don't want somebody to buy it that would keep this operation on air. So I don't really have any faith in that. We'll see what happens. And he isn't even talking to my lawyers and people, even though he's been up here in the last few weeks. So I don't know if they're going to come today and shut us down or next week or they're going to have an auction. I don't know. But that's the sword of Damocles hanging over this place. So there's an urgency there. We've survived so many times and all the other tricks. People say, oh, you'll survive this time. Well, maybe God comes through. Maybe that's God's plan. Fine. I just give it all to God. I'm going to keep broadcasting. And then the minute we get taken down, the Alex Jones Network fires up. The satellites, the stations, all of it. Bigger studios getting built. A lot of stuff happening. but it takes money to do this. And I don't own the AlexJonesStore.com. The bad guys don't have any claim on that. It's owned by Bigley. They fund InfoWars now as the main sponsor, and they fund the Alex Jones Network. I need your support. And the products are incredible. We only bring you the best supplements that will change your life. Highest quality, highest rated, 2,000 milligram per scoop. Bovine colostrum, and we got the best. Methylene Blue, incredible, so good for you. 99% of people have incredible effects. It's literally over 99%. And it's energy with no letdown. It cleans out your cells. It's incredible. All these studies about it, reversing Alzheimer's, and the callers call in. I had glaucoma that went away, and I'm not making any of those claims. Just type in the incredible, you know, no, ask ChatGPT or Grok about Methylene Blue. Get it now. Take the challenge. But take only like a quarter dropper when you first get it, because some people, like one of the crew members, thought he'd taken a hit of acid, basically. He was going crazy. He's like, God, I'm hiring a guy. What the hell? Oh, he's like a whole dropper. And the first time you take it, when it really hits you. So, you know, and if you're on serotonin reuptake inhibitors and stuff, you can't take it. It'll make you literally jump off a cliff. I mean, that's how strong it is, folks. So talk to your doctor. Look at the drugs you're on. Talk to him about it, because this is not a freaking game, okay? I mean, and all these things work in synergy together. So here's the current big sale, CMOS gummies, a fan favorite, 93 vitamins and minerals and trace minerals and elements that work together synergistically. Buy one, get one free, ends tonight. We've got yesterday's sheets, it ends tomorrow. Buy any bottle of CMOS gummies and get another bottle free. Our CMOS is incredible. Get yours at thealexjonesstore.com, and we need the funds. It's always like the widow's mite. We just have enough, and I can bring on extra sponsors and stuff, but I know when I direct sell you stuff, and I know it's quality, I know you're going to love it, and all I got to do is get you off the fence and take your step into a wider world. God's watching. Support the broadcast, word of mouth, prayer, and financially if you can. Plus, these are products you really need. Everybody's got to get that. If you just do one thing, and you've been on the fence, ever supported us, because less than 1% ever buy anything of our millions of listeners. That's fine. Okay. 1% of you to go, man, this guy's info's dead on. Let me get a bottle of this. What are you out? You supported a great broadcast. TheAlexJonesStore.com, and become a VIP. If you're going to get anything, you should be a VIP. It's $30 a month, and instantly you're given $40 of credit. So you just go in when you're buying a couple products at checkout. You go, I'm going to be a VIP. Bloop. Puts $30 on your tab, and then as soon as you run the transaction, you notice 40 goes off your tab. See? And then you get special deals, special offers on everything. Sometimes special products just for you. And you can win free vehicle, you know, all of it. TheAlexJonesStore.com, become a VIP.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
To cover silk, we welcome our guest, Damani Feldar, though we'll continue a lot of this conversation with him. Make sure you're going to thealexjonesstore.com. Thealexjonesstore.com, your one place to support this singular outlet for yes, faith, freedom, justice, the American way, but also a good chunk of silliness as well. Let's not forget that. Let's not forget the silliness that has brought us through to this day. Be silly yourself at thealexjonesstore.com. Thealexjonesstore.com. You can get your methylene blue. You can get some very nice Christmas stuff. By the way, if you want to shop for Christmas, you know, it's not too long from now. We're a little over a month away from Christmas. So, you know, don't wait till the last minute to do your Christmas shopping. If you've got an info warrior in your life, thealexjonesstore.com is the one-stop shop to get everything they could ever possibly want. The t-shirts, the hats, the Christmas sweaters. They're amazing and all the exact same highest level of quality that you have grown to expect from the Alex Jones Store and the InfoWars store, thealexjonesstore.com. Make sure you get the mobile app on Apple or Google Play Store, and make sure you're following us on X, because we are, again, going through the process, being closed down. It's very unfortunate, but we'll survive. We'll move on. We'll create something bigger and better. We just need your help, your force at our back as we march on. So please do support us, thealexjonesstore.com. I mentioned a little last week, but I don't know if I'm supposed to be saying it, but they're like going through the office now and like downloading all of our computers and like, you know, making sure all of nobody's wandered off with any electronics. So It was actually kind of hard gathering news today because my computer was like totally not set up for anything. So, like, it is happening. I'm not sure when exactly the last day will be, but it certainly won't be a year from now. It'll be a hell of a lot sooner than that. So just make sure that you're in contact with us for whenever that happens so you can find out where we go next. It'll be the Alex Jones Network. Follow AJ and Live on X. Make sure you have it bookmarked and download the app as well while you can. Now, we'll talk a little bit more about Epstein. I got other stuff to cover as well, but I got some breaking news and some new videos about this from Anna Paulina Luna. Bill and Hillary Clinton are refusing to appear before House oversight for their depositions regarding Jeffrey Epstein. Notice how the House Democrats suddenly have nothing to say about it. So a few weeks ago, maybe a few months ago, Bill and Hillary Clinton were subpoenaed by the House Oversight Committee about Jeffrey Epstein. They are now refusing to appear, which I wonder if that would put them in contempt or what the next step would be, because obviously they're not going to volunteer to go testify against themselves. That would be a bit silly, I think. But there's a good reason for it. Bill Clinton referred to Jeffrey Epstein as the king of America, for whom he obviously had fealty. Now, the case is apparently being tossed over to Jay Clayton. Pam Bondi put out a statement saying, "Mr. President, thank you. The SDNY U.S. Attorney Jay Clayton is one of the most capable and trusted prosecutors in the country, and I've asked him to take the lead. As with all matters, the department will pursue this with urgency and integrity and deliver answers to the Americans. To the American people." Now, Robert Barnes has said Clayton is one of the least trusted prosecutors in the country. Bondi's referral makes it certain the case goes nowhere. FYI, Clayton's firm represented Hoffman, Morgan, and Chase, three of the people mentioned as being collaborators with Epstein. Kind of like how all the Pfizer cases go to die at Bondi's DOJ after Bondi took hundreds of thousands from Pfizer as their, quote, counsel. And all this in response to a statement from Donald Trump saying, "Now that the Democrats are using the Epstein hoax involving Democrats, not Republicans, to try to deflect from their disastrous shutdown and all of their other failures, I will be asking AG Pam Bondi and the Department of Justice, together with our great patriots of the FBI, to investigate Jeffrey Epstein's involvement in relationships with Bill Clinton, Larry Summers, Reid Hoffman, J.P. Morgan, Chase, and many other people and institutions to determine what was going on with them and him. This is another Russia, Russia, Russia scam with all arrows pointing to the Democrats. Records show that these men and many others spent large portions of their life with Epstein and on his island. Stay tuned." Oh, we're going to investigate it. Oh, good. An investigation has been launched. Okay, you know he was arrested in 2019 and then murdered in his jail cell, right? You know they have all of the evidence they could ever possibly need. Again, it's just infuriating. It's just like, we'll get answers to the American people. We already know. We don't need answers. We need justice. How about instead of more investigations, you take the investigations that have been done for the last decade and more and apply them and actually get justice for them and arrest the people mentioned in them? More investigations. More indictments that'll never see the light of day because they're given to people that are in the deep state and that are aligned with the Epstein cabal. Just utterly infuriating. From Whitney Webb on X, "The Clayton appointment is so unreal. Jeffrey Berman was pressured to step down by the first Trump administration roughly a year after prosecuting Epstein in 2019. As I recall, it was around the time when Berman was targeting Steve Bannon. Bill Barr tried to have Clayton replace him in 2020, but was unsuccessful. Clayton spent the time waiting to be ushered into that position by Trump earlier this year at Epstein associate Leon Black's Apollo Global in a board position they seemingly made just for him." Leon Black, of course, also a name that came up in the Russiagate collusion hoax, as I believe he was closely tied in with George Soros and the Open Society Foundation, helping to funnel some of the information that was used later to illegally and, you know, unlawfully, dishonestly get warrants to spy on Clinton, on Trump, rather. In other words, Clayton is the guy the first Trump administration and Bill Barr specifically wanted in to replace the people who had Epstein and later Maxwell arrested. And when they couldn't do it, a super rich Epstein associate gave him tons of money. And now he's been installed in that position to, quote, unquote, investigate Epstein. How stupid do these people think we are? From JoeHoff.com, SDNY, U.S. Attorney Jay Clayton has ties to Epstein clients. Is he the right guy to lead Epstein investigation? I think the answer is no. is absolutely no. There's other aspects of this cover-up that are clever, if not exactly ethical. When typos become cover-ups, why Congress has to ban protective redaction. A single letter can hide a scandal. Change EcoHealth to EC-Health and Anderson to Anderson with a dollar sign as an S. And the email that should surface in response to Freedom of Information Act requests quietly disappears from search results. That is the logic of what is called the protective redaction technique, the practice of using pseudonyms, deliberate misspellings, and creative abbreviations to keep public business technically public but practically invisible. Congress should outlaw this practice. It should be a specific federal offense for public officials to conduct official business under undisclosed pseudonyms or to deliberately distort names in a calculated way to defeat FOIA, state open record laws, or litigation discovery. So it's pretty simple. If you just misspell a name, FOIA requests simply search the name. And so if the name is misspelled, it doesn't show up in the search request. It doesn't get produced under FOIA. One of the ways that they're trying to cover up the participation of all these people. Recent investigations from the National Institute of Health have made this tactic impossible to ignore. Emails from David Marins, a longtime advisor to Anthony Fauci, show him bragging that he had learned from our FOIA lady here how to make emails disappear after I'm FOIA'd, but before the search starts, while describing how he deleted messages and routed sensitive discussions to personal accounts. A House oversight memo and subsequent reporting revealed that Greg Folkers, Fauci's former chief of staff at NIAID, repeatedly wrote EC-Health instead of EcoHealth and altered the spelling of key scientist names such as Kristen Anderson in ways that predictably defeat keyword searches. So it's just, again, just blatant criminality, blatant cover-ups going on. And the thing about these blatant cover-ups is when they're discovered, it shouldn't, like, they shouldn't be able to get away with this. It should be even worse. Like, when they're sitting there making the calculation, in their mind, it should be, okay, like any, like, murder suspect, okay, you've got the, or, you know, maybe you're not the murder suspect, but you're the murder suspect's friend, and you find the murder weapon in your car. And you're like, well, this is evidence, I could put my friend away. But if I hide it, they might not find the evidence, they might get away with it. But if it's discovered that I hid it, then I'll go to jail for 20 years for accessory after the fact. So I'm going to turn this in now, because I'm not going to be a party to this. That's what needs to happen. When you deliberately circumvent FOIA laws, when you deliberately cover up, because remember, they're not just covering up like surprise birthdays, right? They're lying because they committed crimes. The lying is in an effort to cover up the real criminality behind the scenes. So anything discovered like this has to be treated as severely as the crime itself. Just like if you help to get rid of evidence for a murderer, you're going to jail for a decade, okay? It's not a slap on the wrist. It's like you're the getaway driver. It's like you're the guy who, you know, sharpened the knife for the murder. You are now a key component of the attempt to get away with the crime. You are now guilty of that crime, or at least in its being carried out. So again, it's like all of these things, they're kind of a double-edged sword. We just never use the sword. Like, they do this stuff. It allows them to get away with some stuff. It allows them to succeed where they shouldn't. But then it should also be an opening for us to crush all of them. And go, look, you might not have had anything to do with the gain of function program, but you did cover it up. So you might not be going to jail for life. You might not be, you know, the Nuremberg trials swinging from a rope at the end of the day, but you're going to spend some time in jail, a long time, because this type of manipulation is unacceptable. And we have to send that message, not through words, but through action. So far, the action has been, you can get away with anything as long as you help the corrupt Democrats. You can get away with anything as long as the Israeli blackmail ring has your back. Again, just infuriating. Anyway, we can move on from this, but, you know, Larry Summers is another one of these guys. As Summers sought clandestine relationship with woman he called a mentee, he's her mentor, Epstein was his, quote, wingman when former Harvard president Lawrence H. Summers was pursuing a romantic relationship with a woman he described as, you know, being her mentor. He turned to a longtime associate for guidance, convicted sex offender Jeffrey Epstein. And again, this guy is a kingpin of the globalist He is now on the board of OpenAI, helping Sam Altman to scrape all the information on the internet to compile it into one control grid so they can, you know, enforce their demands despite being the most immoral, devious, and hateful people the world has ever seen. It's going to be their morality that dictates the day, and they have one rule and one rule only. It's you don't talk about them. Anything else is permitted. Anything else, anything immoral, anything abusive, anything exploitative, have at it. It's a dog-eat-dog world out there. But if you dare to suggest who it is doing these things, well, that's the one law you can't break. That's the one rule they'll enforce. Let's go to clip number 8 here. This is Thomas Massey questioning Cash Patel on Epstein. Then we'll move on. But here's Thomas Massey this morning asking Cash Patel about why he would say the things that he said now that he's saying the opposite of those things that he said. He doesn't have a good answer. Let's watch.
Director Patel, I watched some of your Senate hearing yesterday when Senator Kennedy asked you, you've seen most of the files. Who, if anyone, did Epstein traffic these women to besides himself? You replied, according to the transcript, there is no credible information that he trafficked them to anyone else. You also said somewhere in the hearing and here today that the problem is that the case files are constrained by limited search warrants from 2006 to 2007 and that the non-prosecution agreement hamstrung future investigations. Those constraints only apply to Southern District of Florida. They do not apply to Southern District of New York, the location of the 2019 sex trafficking indictment, which produced many things, including a series of FD-302 documents. According to victims who cooperated with the FBI in that investigation, these documents in FBI possession, your possession, detail at least 20 men, including Mr. Jess Staley, CEO of Barclays Bank, who Jeffrey Epstein trafficked victims to, victims including minors such as Virginia Roberts Dufresne. May she rest in peace. That list also includes at least 19 other individuals, one Hollywood producer worth a few hundred million dollars, one royal prince, one high-profile individual in the music industry, one very prominent banker, one high-profile government official, one high-profile former politician, one owner of a car company in Italy, one rock star, one magician, at least 6 billionaires, including a billionaire from Canada. We know these people exist in the FBI files, the files that you control. I don't know exactly who they are, but the FBI does. Have you launched any investigations into any of these people, and have you seen these 302 documents?
Sir, I have asked my FBI agents to review the entirety of the Epstein files and bring forth any credible information. And we're working with Congress not only to divulge that information and produce it to you, but any investigations that arise from any credible investigation will be brought. There have been no new materials brought to me launching a new indictment.
So is the loophole here, or is it your assertion that these victims aren't credible, that the 302s maybe didn't produce credible statements that rise to a probable cause?
It's not my assertion, sir. It's the assertion of two different United States attorney's offices from three separate administrations who investigated those same materials in Lifetime.
Are the 302 documents in the FBI's possession?
They reviewed all that, yes, sir.
And so have you reviewed those 302 documents that where the victims name the people who victimized them?
If I personally know, but the FBI has.
So how can you sit here and in front of the Senate and say there are no names?
I said,
I named one today.
I said, we are not in the practice at the Department of Justice FBI of releasing victims' names. That is not what we do. We are also not in the habit of releasing incredible information. That's not what we do. But multiple authorities have looked at the entirety of what we have.
Okay. I got to move on here. Were you present?
So again, he's just not answering the question. It's like, we're not going to put out victims' names. It's like, no, the perpetrators' names are who we want here. And it's just, the whole thing is, again, absurd. It's inadequate, the answers that we're getting. And it really is as simple as that. And that's just the case over and over again. It's inadequate. All of this is inadequate. What we know about Thomas Crooks, utterly inadequate. What we know about Jeffrey Epstein, utterly inadequate. They have all the information. They're just not giving it to us. They have ulterior motives. When it comes to the Thomas Crooks thing, it's like cartoonish, their response. From New York Post, FBI Secret Service butchered the Thomas Crooks case and invited conspiracies. We deserve the truth. Crooks was shot dead by a Secret Service sniper, but not before he killed rallygoer Corey Compatori, 50, and seriously wounded David Dutch, 58, and James Coppenhaver, 75, who were sitting in the bleachers behind Trump. The president demanded answers months ago. A man was murdered. What is going on? FBI Director Chris Wray at the time told Congress after the July 13, 2024 attack that the Bureau had found nothing in Crooks' online history that pointed to a motive or political ideology. A week later, Wray's deputy, Paul Abate, told Congress that comments posted on one of Crooks' social media accounts appear to reflect anti-Semitic and anti-immigration themes, to espouse political violence, and are described as extreme in nature. Thanks to an enterprising source who uncovered Crooks' hidden digital footprint, we can see that Abate misled Congress by omission because he left out an entire section of Crooks' online interactions from January to August 2020 when he did an ideological backflip and went from rabidly pro-Trump to rabidly anti-Trump and then went dark, never seeming to post again. And so they've discovered this. And, of course, Tucker has released a lot of it. A lot of what has been discovered. People are saying, supposedly, it has been revealed that he was a furry of some sort or transgender, perhaps. This is the story that was leaked by the FBI to Miranda Devine. I'll bring up that headline again for me. Because I actually agree with Megyn Kelly, because the Basically, Tucker Carlson comes out with these revelations about Crooks and shows that he did, in fact, have a very sizable internet footprint and that you can track it and that it was political and that he was interacting with some suspicious people that have never been noted by our FBI as having anything to do with this assassination. And Megyn Kelly, I think, has a good take on this. She suspects the FBI handed over info on Thomas Crooks being a furry to Miranda Devine to head fake people from Tucker Carlson's story on Crooks, saying this whole thing stinks. The clear implication, in my view, is of Tucker's piece is that the guy was recruited by somebody to conduct this horrific act. Tucker goes on to report that the FBI made no mention of this Tepes guy in public, although they certainly know that he exists. And so it's just very suspicious that right when Tucker Carlson starts releasing all of this damning information about Thomas Crooks seemingly being contacted by people who are encouraging him. And it has to do with this group called the Nordicist Resistance Group that's declared a domestic terrorist, but I'm having trouble finding what they've ever done that's actually makes them terrorists. I mean, this whole thing stinks to high heaven and is very convenient, development that apparently he's a furry now as well. And so we're all talking about that instead. Now, Brianna Morello, you probably heard her on American Journal this morning, but also Alex Jones Show. She independently obtained the same source document as Tucker Carlson, which allegedly contains Thomas Crooks' alleged full online history. Multiple DeviantArt accounts potentially associated with Thomas Crooks have been identified. One such account prominently displays they-them pronouns, prompting additional questions regarding Crooks' gender identity. That's interesting. Now, a congressman, Tim Burchett, has gone even farther. He says CIA mind control project programmed a Trump shooter. A sinister CIA program with decades-long history of mind control experiments is now being linked to the attempted assassination of Donald Trump. Congressman Tim Burchett claimed that the U.S. intelligence agencies, particularly the CIA, may have orchestrated or enabled the attack on the now president in Butler, Pennsylvania, on 13th of July last year. The Tennessee representative suggested Thomas Crooks, 20, was psychologically manipulated online using techniques reminiscent of MKUltra, the notorious Cold War-era CIA mind control program. While MKUltra officially ended in the early 70s, Burchett alleged that intelligence officials never stopped experimenting with methods to erode free will, although he offered no direct evidence. He said he was programmed to act as a disposable patsy, sending a warning that Trump and his supporters were targets of the so-called deep state. Quote, they programmed this kid. You've got a kid who's got access to guns or has some basic knowledge of firearms. He was programmed, Burchett told conservative influencer Benny Johnson on Friday. The FBI maintains Crooks acted alone in Butler with no evidence of co-conspirators. or foreign direction. But they seem to be lying. Yeah, MKUltra's real. It's still going on, and it's a similarity you'll find in a number of high-profile, disturbing, violent cases in the recent past, including the Buffalo shooter and I believe the Uvalde school shooter as well. They're all on Discord, and they're all in communications with people who are either retired or semi-retired from the FBI or somehow associated with the FBI. And these things are published and well-known, that they're in these groups with, like, FBI handlers whose names never get published, just like this Tepes guy. Now, in response to this, in defending himself, Kash Patel has said that over 480 FBI employees were involved in the Thomas Crooks investigation. Employees conducted over 1,000 interviews, addressed over 2,000 public tips, analyzed data extracted from 13 seized digital devices, reviewed nearly 500,000 digital files, collected, processed, and synchronized hundreds of hours of video footage, analyzed financial activity from 10 different accounts, and examined data associated with 25 social media or online forum accounts. Wow, you did so much. Do you want to tell us any of the results of these investigations? Do you want to make public anything that you've discovered? Perhaps illustrate to the American people, maybe you hold a press conference where you explain all of the work that you've done and what you have to show for it? Or do you just want to say nothing and then demonize anybody asking questions or try to make illegal anybody telling the truth even though you've decided that the truth should be hidden? This is not like a defense. This is kind of even more suspicious. It's one thing if the FBI is just like, look, the kid died, you know. It was him. He shot at Trump and died. Like, what is there to even investigate? We can't bring charges against a dead man. Then at least it would be a reason why you don't have anything to present. But no, they apparently spent hundreds of thousands of man hours on this and have never once given an iota of information about anything Crooks did or said or talked to at all. So, like, what is the point? Oh, we had 480 FBI employees investigating this. Well, apparently they're all worse than one person named Tucker Carlson who has blown your whole operation out of the water. If you want us to believe this stuff, tell us before you get scooped by the podcaster, Cash. By the way, I got more information about Cash Patel and his actually increasing intensity in his persecution of Elijah Schaefer, who insinuated through a picture that Cash's girlfriend might be an Israeli spy. And now he might not be allowed back in the country. I'll give you the story on the other side. Don't go anywhere, folks. I do want to tell you about a sale that we've got going on InfoWarsStore.com. I feel like it's been forever since I've plugged InfoWarsStore.com. But let me tell you, folks, I'm plugging it for a good reason, because it is the final batch. Of two of our most bombshell, widely respected, well-known, and powerful supplements, Ultimate Fish Oil and Bod Ease Turmeric Supplement. And this is a critical moment. If you've been thinking about improving your health, now is the time to act, and not just for the sake of your well-being, but to help keep InfoWars on air as long as possible. For a limited time, we're offering 40% off two of our best-selling products, Ultimate Fish Oil and Bodies Whole Body Support. Our fish oil is packed with essential omega-3s to support your heart, brain, and joints, while our turmeric helps with inflammation and boosts your overall wellness. Both products are powerful tools in your daily health routine. But here's the reality. We at InfoWars could be shut down in the very near future. We need your support right now, and the funds from these sales are critical for keeping the fight going as long as possible. Once the supply is gone, you might not have a chance to restock or even be around for to offer these products again. We might not be around to offer these products ever again. 40% off Ultimate Fish Oil, 40% off the Bod Ease Turmeric Supplement. It is a massive discount, and it's your chance now to grab these high-quality supplements while helping us survive. Do not wait. Head to InfoWarsStore.com. Buy now and keep us going. Every purchase helps. Every order makes a difference. And like I said, these could be the final runs of Ultimate Fish Oil and Bod Ease Turmeric Supplement, two of our most powerful and beloved supplements. Please do go get Ultimate Fish Oil today at InfoWarsStore.com. Keep us on the air, in the fight, and keep yourself healthy.
Discover a wide variety of products at InfoWarsStore.com. From shirts, books, hats, survival gear to essential documentaries and supplements, InfoWarsStore.com has got you covered. We have the highest quality at the lowest prices. Visit InfoWarsStore.com and help support the InfoWar.
Yeah.
folks, I really don't know what's going on with the Trump administration, how poorly they're handling all this stuff. But there's been a development in the case of Elijah Schaefer, in case you haven't been paying attention. Somebody suggested that if you see a ridiculously attractive woman with a very powerful man, it's not unlikely that they are a honeypot operation. And in response to that tweet, Elijah Schaefer posted a picture of Kash Patel and his girlfriend. He didn't say any words. He didn't actually make any insinuations. But he's been sued for that for $5 million, along with Sam Parker and Kyle Serafin. I don't know about Kyle Serafin, but Sam Parker never made the claim that she was a Israeli agent. And Elijah Schaefer never made that claim. He made the insinuation. I think it's pretty obvious what he was trying to insinuate, but that's not illegal. And it certainly wasn't explicit. He didn't claim to have knowledge that she was a Israeli agent of any sort. Which, again, defamation requires that you lie and that you know it's a lie and that you do it specifically to harm somebody. Which I don't even know how you could prove that, because if it's the FBI director, how could you make the case that it was for anything other than your love of country that you speculated? Like, again, defamation has to be like, oh, I hate this woman, so I'm going to lie about her to disadvantage her or something. But if you're genuinely concerned that the FBI might be infiltrated, what do you mean you can't speculate on that? So now the FBI SWAT team is protecting her, even when she's not with Kash Patel. By the fact that if anything, it's probably this lawsuit that made people angry at her. So the whole thing's ridiculous, but it gets worse. Elijah Schaefer reveals minutes ago, the FBI has now designated my personal security and operations manager of Rift TV as a national security threat. Informed that they will be detained by DHS upon reentry, less than 72 hours after he was doxxed and had to relocate due to lawfare connected to the FBI director. So on November 13th, he said, my family's been criminally doxxed due to Alexis Wilkins' frivolous $5 million lawsuit. Basically, published where he lived and, names of his family and stuff. So he probably was already planning on going to El Salvador, but at this time he moved to he went to El Salvador. He says, the person now under FBI designated status is at Snowflake_news. We left the country together without incident last week and traveled to El Salvador monthly. I announced on social media that he was here with me less than 24 hours ago. Next morning, the FBI marked him SSSS as a threat. Yeah, probably not a coincidence. He's saying the FBI director's girlfriend sued me, allegedly using his legal resources for criticizing Israel. I'm also a huge critic of Kash Patel. Someone connected directly to Josh Hammer's investigation team accidentally leaked the lawsuit to me. Before FBI director Kash Patel and his country music star GF wanted me to find out about it. That's why they're publicly panicking. Support the fight, and he has a legal fund there. So, that is outrageous. That is absurd. Why is the FBI designating American journalists as potential terror risks because their boss criticizes or made a joke about the FBI director's girlfriend? What? Yeah, you got to fire Kash Patel, Trump. You really, for the sake of the country, for the sake of the FBI, for the sake of your administration, for the sake of free speech in this country, for the sake of preserving what modicum of the MAGA coalition still remains, you got to fire Kash Patel. It's not an option at this point. It's a necessity. You got to fire Kash Patel. His failure is one thing. If he was just bad at his job, which he appears to be, that'd be one thing. But he's bad at his job and he's abusing American journalists. He's bad at his job and he's spending his time and money helping to sue Americans for criticizing his girlfriend. Yeah, he needs to go. He needs to go yesterday.
Hey, the Alex Jones app, AJN Live, is now the number one app in the world.
That's right. You heard me. We're number one. And this is pissing off the Democrats and the deep state big time. They're doing everything they can to shut us down. And now here we are dominating the Apple store.
Smells like victory.
We just launched the app less than 2 days ago, and we're already the number one news app in the world. And we'd like to keep it that way. So if you haven't done so yet, now's your chance. Go to alexjonesapp.com and download the app and tell the globalists to go f*** themselves.
You're listening.
For the last 10 plus years to unveil this information about Trump and Epstein. You really believe they let him run his campaign back in 2016? They let him beat Hillary? They let him actually assume the White House himself and stay there for those first 4 years? They impeached him not for these allegations of him and Epstein, but for some other charges the average person can't even remember themselves. But they trotted out E. Jean Carroll. They trotted out Stormy Daniels. Those were the best plays that they had, right? And then they were able to actually seize power back for themselves in 2020. They had all the levers of power at their disposal, and they did not choose to unveil this information then. And then they let him run again. They had a failed assassination attempt. He actually won again, and he was reelected as president. And then he gets back to the White House, and now, over a year after he was reelected, and on the heels of the government shutdown that the Democrats caused themselves, now you think that they are going to unveil this earth-shattering new information that is going to finally get Trump. If you really believe that, and you probably also believe that men can be women and women can be men.
Great stuff. That's from Damani Felder. He is my guest today. Damani Felder on X at The Damani Felder, on TikTok at The Damani Felder as well. He's the founder of YouTube's The Wright Brothers, MAGA Warrior, Texas A&M alum, Christian conservative, wordsmith, dropping truth bombs on politics and culture. He can be seen on a number of very prominent podcasts and outlets. Thank you so much for coming on today, Damani.
Hey, Harrison, thanks for having me. It's good to be here, brother.
Well, it's my pleasure, and I felt like I almost was obligated to invite you on because I retweet like every video you make. A lot of your videos are very much that style. They're short, they're sweet. You're usually out on a walk around Houston, which I love anyway. Maybe that's why I like them, because I like seeing you walk along the bayou. But you make really good short content, and I was like, can't just retweet this guy over and over, not invite him on to talk about some of this stuff. So how did you get involved in what you're doing now and become political and decide this was the path you wanted to choose?
Well, and you know, there's so many individuals who went before me and kind of paved the way. But I remember back almost actually over a decade now, was when I first started seeing a lot of the big voices start to come out in support of Trump. We're talking back 2015. It feels like it was just yesterday, but in the political scale, it feels like we've lived several lifetimes.
Right.
So seeing individuals lend their voices to the fray, I thought if I at least have these skills to talk, I might as well go ahead and begin myself, not knowing what I'm doing. You know, what I do now is far and away removed from what I was doing when I first started. I had no idea how to even make a video. But I feel that it is incumbent upon us and of paramount importance that we actually use our voices for good. And, you know, I just go around Houston, Texas, you know, where I live now, trying to show off that, you know, Houston, it might not be, you know, as beautiful as Colorado, but we have some pretty beautiful scenery here too, but also deliver a message, hopefully in a way that's easy to understand and easy to digest and hopefully easy to share as well. So much of what we're seeing take place on the political stage right now does not pass the Snell test, and doubly so if you have any degree of common sense whatsoever. So the hope is that the messages I'm able to deliver and craft are able to reach individuals who still have some ability to have some cognition, and hopefully they'll be able to arrive at those conclusions that they should, because this is not rocket science. We're getting to a point now in American politics where what you see in front of you honestly does not really require too much digging beyond the most simple answer usually being the most correct one. So hopefully delivering messages just like mine and many others will hopefully wake more individuals up to what is truly going on in the country, and hopefully set them on a path towards self-exploration. Because make no mistake, we're at a point now where we're so polarized, where individuals think, oh, everything must be Republicans bad or Democrats bad. And while there is some nuance involved in that, I think it's also important for us to recognize that what you see is what you get most of the time with these politicians.
Yeah.
And you just have to use a little bit of common sense, and it'll actually point you in the right direction every single time.
Isn't that the frustrating part, though? Is it like this isn't complicated? This stuff is not hard. Again, that's why I like your videos, because they're short, they're nicely packaged, and I do think they're convincing. And it's like frustrating that we even have to explain some of this stuff. It seems so absurdly obvious. Why do you think it is that so many people are so far off the mark? And are you having success? Like, do people tell you, like, oh, you know, your videos opened up my eyes? Because I have to keep reminding myself that it is possible. And partly it's bragging, but partly it's a reminder. You know, I like posting things where I had a friend tell me the other day, he said, you know, my brother and his wife had voted Democrat their whole lives. They started watching your videos and now they consider themselves far right. And I'm like, yes, it's still possible that people can be woken up from their stupor. But what do you think it takes to break through? And why do you think it's so hard for us to make these arguments when they seem so imminently obvious to us?
Well, you know, Harrison, I'll tell you, it seems to be a very disquieting commitment to ignorance. We're talking to individuals now, and we are having to argue information that should be just common sense.
Right.
The fact that we have to sit there and explain to an individual that there are inherent differences between men and women, so much so that I believe it was the Olympic committee recently came out and said, okay, yeah, we're not going to allow individuals who are transgender or who are born a different sex to compete or different gender to compete with other individuals because it gives them an unfair advantage. It's like, wow, you really had to sit there and think about that for more than 5 seconds to understand how ridiculous it is. But the fact of the matter is also it's a pride issue. Because there are individuals who are so committed to that lie, once you accept one lie, if you're on the left side of the aisle, you have to accept the next. And it becomes a race to the bottom of absurdity. So even if the left got all of their entire wish list, you know what would happen next is they would begin to cannibalize themselves, yep, trying to prove who is the most woke, who is the most anti-racist, who is the most anti this or that. So it goes to show how their whole ideology ultimately is self-defeating and cannibalizing at its core. But the fact of the matter is, if you're able to actually present information to someone in a manner where they don't necessarily turn you off right away, there is still an opportunity to reach those people. But the more they ascribe to a certain hive mind, the more difficult that becomes. And I will say this as well, on the right side of the aisle as well, all too often, the minute that you ask a question, oh, you are roundly panned as X, Y, and Z, where we are the individuals who pride ourselves on being able to think critically but come to our own conclusions and not suffer instant backlash that is unfounded. Now, there are some individuals on the right side of the aisle who I would argue are facing criticism and scrutiny, and I would argue that is well-deserved in some cases. But the hive-minded mentality, the lack of individualism, the lack of one's ability to use critical thinking skills to get where they need to be, honestly, it can be blamed for a lot of the issues that we have on the political forum today.
Yeah, I agree. And let's get into that, the so-called MAGA civil war. And it's so frustrating because, you know, we need a Trump to win. We need a Trump to be successful because we recognize how dangerous it will be if the Democrats get back in office. I mean, they are already talking about, like, the list they're making for people that they'll claim are domestic terrorists. Like, this is sort of a life or death situation for us. So I don't want to throw Trump under the bus. I don't think that's a viable path into the future. We need, like, this is the horse we're on. We need to ride it to the end of the race, and we need victory, or else God only knows what comes next. But at the same time, I see the choices that the Trump administration is making, and it's just baffling. It's inexplicable. It makes me angry a lot of the times. And yet it's like, how do you solve the problem but not at the same time contribute to it? Like, I want to criticize the people that are dividing us, but then that feels like I'm dividing us farther. So, like, what is your take on the current division in the MAGA right? How do we get over it, and most importantly?
Well, that's a great question. And honestly, I started to call this out in a couple of videos I made even years and years ago when I saw some of the disparate way that even individuals who are associated with InfoWars got treated at places like CPAC. And the fact of the matter is we've kind of built this unfortunate hedge around our movement in many cases where for the past probably better part of a decade, anyone who criticized anyone who was quote unquote MAGA adjacent, particularly if you're on the right yourself, you were automatically called a liberal or you are a this or a that. So it almost allowed certain individuals who maybe had ulterior motives to possibly seep into the movement in many ways, shapes, and forms. And some of them were outed. I think particularly there was one politician, I believe it was Alex Stovall a couple of years ago. And he was exposed essentially for more or less grifting off of the movement. But because we've insulated ourselves to a certain degree to say, oh, well, you can't criticize anything, then that in itself is very injurious, because individuals up to and including Trump should be willing to and able to handle that criticism, but then also pivot from it. The most encouraging things that I see is when individuals will actually take that criticism and they will actually respond to it, react to it, and make better choices moving forward. And it is frustrating beyond belief, to your point, when you see some decisions that Trump makes, and it's okay for us to acknowledge that, but also not throw the baby out with the bathwater. Because what's the alternative? Are individuals now saying, oh, well, I'm going to go and burn my MAGA hat publicly and post a video? First of all, the only reason you do that is because you want some quick, easy attention on social media. It's not for any other reason. But then you see people who begin to react that way. See, you begin to question and ask yourself, okay, well, who is for, who is against? There's this MAGA civil war. And ultimately what's happening on the right side of the aisle right now is in a little bit of identity crisis, because we're coming up closely to the midterms. And after the midterms, that's truly what will pave the way for the future of the movement, because we all know that in the future, we want to win 2028 and we want to win 2030, 2032. So a lot of even the infighting, people could argue on the right side of the aisle, has to do with who is going to emerge as the preeminent source of truth or investigative journalism or whatnot on the right side of the aisle. And you'll see plenty of large figures choose a side or say you have to pick this side or that side. And if anything I can tell people is this, is it, regardless of, you know, which influencer is your favorite, we've got to stop playing this weird, silly game where it's like, oh, well, I disagree with one thing that this one influencer says, therefore they are no longer credible whatsoever. Right. It's important to hold them accountable, but also to realize that there are going to be things that people say that you agree with or don't agree with, in your ability to handle that as a mature adult is going to be ultimately what does set you apart from those on the left side of the aisle who truly do have that hive mind and that groupthink mentality.
Yeah, it's sort of our, you know, our greatest strength is also our greatest weakness. We are open to all these, varying, views, but then that causes conflict. And, I was talking the other day about, like, if we meet somebody that disagrees with us 90%, but agrees with us 10%, we're like, yes, 10%. We can build on that. You're on my team technically in this position. So, good. We could use you. Whereas on the left, it seems like anybody that's not 100% with them gets thrown under the bus. So it's something that we pride ourselves in, but obviously it's causing all of this, conflict and chaos. And, the people, burning their MAGA hats or whatever, I think that's a little extreme. Again, I think it's like, this is our guy. We need to fight for him. At the same time, do you give any credence to the feeling of betrayal that people are expressing? Because it does feel like we, the American people, have suffered. And, personally, people lose friends or family members, don't talk to them anymore because of their support for Donald Trump. And then they see we're 10 months into the second administration and, like, nobody's in handcuffs. The border's been shut, yes, but the deportations, I don't think, are nearly as high as they need to be. So I think people are really reaching, like, a crisis moment where they're, like, kind of panicking and going, we need something intense now, and Trump is not delivering it. So, I mean, what's your take on that? Like, what should Trump do? In my opinion, he just needs to really do the things we elected him for, stop being distracted by the foreign policy stuff, which can be okay, but people want results and we're not getting them. The H-1B thing. I mean, what can Trump do at this point to mitigate some of the feeling of betrayal that his supporters have expressed?
Yeah, that's a good question. I do think you did mention it kind of yourself to a certain degree, as we are 10 months in, and that almost sounds trite and overplayed to say at this point in time, because it feels as if that is more than enough time for us to start seeing some demonstrable results. And the fact of the matter is that the fewer results that you see, the more questions you're going to have, the more that sense of betrayal is going to truly brew and ultimately boil over in many cases. What Trump needs to do, I would argue, is really lend his ear to the individuals who helped him get to where he is and who truly do have good intentions. And the beautiful thing is at this point in time, he knows who those people are more or less. People have proven themselves to be for him or against him, to be a loyal or disloyal at this point. And so the fact of the matter is there is a very short list, I would argue, that individuals truly had and the individuals still do have as it relates to what they want to see Trump accomplish, right? We want to see the size and scope of government shrink because we all know it is bloated. We want to make sure that we are able to keep more of our money. I would argue it's almost shifting more towards a libertarian front, mm-hmm. or a classical libertarian front, I would say. We obviously do want to see the border closed, and we are grateful for those efforts. We also want to see individuals who we know are involved in the most heinous atrocities brought to justice, prosecuted, and made an example of. And every day that passes that we do not see that makes us start to feel as if that justice may truly never be coming, particularly when we see instances like Virginia Roberts Dupre, who the official story is that she committed suicide. That's a dubious story on its own face. And when you stack that up with all the other individuals who are embroiled in this Epstein controversy, time will tell if there's not some other play that we're not fully privy to yet. But the more this time stretches on, the more individuals do feel as if we are losing hope. I want to caution individuals out there away from completely throwing their support away from Trump, but also be willing to continue to be loud enough to make sure he realizes that there is still more work that needs to be done. Because ultimately, that is the only way that we will ultimately sometimes get things done is by being that squeaky wheel and demanding that oil.
It seems to work. I mean, the meme now is like always chimp out, right? Like if you're mad, let people know, get angry. Because the Trump administration does seem to respond when their base is upset. They don't always respond, you know. It's like they hear us, so they want to like mitigate or sort of calm our objections, but they don't do what we want them to do. So it is just frustrating. And again, I really do worry about what happens if we lose the midterms next year. I mean, we're 1 year away from potentially, you know, November 17th, 2026, they're going to be launching impeachment and really, you know, throwing a stick in the spokes of Trump's administration. So it is very urgent. But I know you cover a lot of cultural stuff as well. We have the video where you're talking about Michelle Obama. We don't have too much time with you. Can you tell us what were you covering with Michelle Obama? What do you make of her media appearances these days where she's saying some of the weirdest stuff I've ever heard? I guess she's trying to sell a book or something. Why is she even in the media these days? Well, what was your take on Michelle Obama's recent media outings?
God only knows. Maybe she's trying to distract away from the fact that her husband's presidential library bears a striking resemblance to an industrial-sized trash can. Now, that's a coincidence that I'm sure is not a coincidence, but I digress. So Michelle Obama's out here now. After all that the country has truly done for this family, the fact that they consistently and emphatically thumb their nose at the individuals who even gave them what they have today really goes to show how ungrateful they are and truly goes to show that they are the classic Marxists that many individuals recognized them for even years and years ago. Yeah. So she's going to talk about how certain beauty standards or hairstyles are the reason that black women can't get ahead or can't swim. And I'm sitting here, I'm like, woman, do you hear yourself talking? One of the things your husband runs and talks about all the time is, you know, the climate change, global warming, and he's sitting up there with a beautiful house. I believe it's in Martha's Vineyard, and then no one wants to talk about the Tafari Campbell, their former White House chef, who suspiciously drowned in the water that was not tall enough or not deep enough for him to drown in when a suspicious paddleboarding accident. But she wants to sit up here now and pretend that she is so oppressed. This is what Democrats do, by the way, and I see you're showing the infamous the flop scene around the world.
No comment.
On the screen there. But Michelle goes out of her way to continue to pretend as if she is owed something or, oh, the world is such a terrible, inhospitable place for her and her family, when she fails to even acknowledge that the only reason that they got elected in the first place was because a whole lot of people of all different stripes and backgrounds chose to put their faith and trust in an eloquent silver-tongued speaker, yep, who ultimately stabbed them in the back and continues to do so to this day. And even now, Michelle's husband's running around. Barack is going around, you know, talking about how, oh, my legacy is being tarnished. Well, yeah, if we're going to talk about, you know, Obamacare and how affordable that did not turn out to be, just another example of how to the extent that they are able, the Democrats will always find a way to do the exact opposite of what they claim they're doing for you, but somehow still claim that you are the reason for the world's ills in the future. It's tiresome. It's annoying. And particularly as someone who does have some extra melanin in his skin, I'm so sick and tired of anyone, myself included, who goes after Michelle or Barack Obama. You know what the biggest comeback is from, you know, dyed-in-the-wool Democrats? You are attacking the first black female first lady. How could you betray your own people when these are not my people? But the fact that they effectively are now using race as a shield against any sort of legitimate criticism honestly makes me see red and drives me crazy. I know it drives you crazy as well.
Yeah, it absolutely does. And of course, I've been open about it. I was a fool as a young and, you know, starry-eyed 18-year-old. I also voted for Obama, but it was in very quick order that I was like, oh, he was lying to me. I thought I was voting for somebody who was going to stop the wars and genuinely thought like, this is great. This will be the last act of, you know, American, government where we'll be over racism from now on. Won't this be great? I'm so excited to have a black president. We can all just put this nasty period of our lives behind us. And then they just bring it back with a vengeance. And to this day, she's still dividing the country. She's still pushing that, you know, racist angle. And it's just like, it really is disgusting. And I guess it just works for her personal brand, but that sort of shows it, doesn't it? They're willing to try to build themselves up by sacrificing unity and, you know, happiness across the country. That's less important to them than looking like they're the ones on top. It's gross and it's self-serving. And, I don't think it's effective though. I don't think people like the Obamas very much anymore. Do you?
Most people don't. It's kind of sad, really. You know, they've tried to branch out after their time as president was over or their presidential term was over. You know, they've had failed exploits such as their podcast that I believe they struggled to get even barely decent viewership or listenership on that. Mm-hmm. You know, I believe they had a TV show of some sort.
Well, they were so like producers for Netflix. They came out with a bunch of Netflix productions.
Yep. And, but they get pulled out of mothballs every so often to go stump for the next person. I mean, they're literally over here talking about how difficult, Michelle is talking about how difficult it is to be a black woman. I use that word, you know, with a certain degree of skepticism sometimes myself, but I digress. But then they're going to go and campaign, was it in Virginia, I believe it was, mm-hmm. where Winsome Earl Sears was running. So the whole script over the past several years was, you know, you need to support this black woman being Kamala Harris. Another issue for another day. But then they're going to sit there and say, okay, now we want you to vote for Abigail Spiernberger and not the black woman here because the black woman is part of the wrong political party.
Right.
The fact that they get any notoriety or attention whatsoever anymore honestly makes my head spin. But I think what is a silver lining is that it indicates how desperate the left is going to continue to become, because if you have to lean on Barack Obama, who has been out of office now for almost a decade himself, if you have to lean on him to pull individuals out, to pull out the vote or to go out and vote, as it were, then you are not as popular as you think you are. And essentially, he's being used as a macabre mascot for the left, and they are just going to hide behind him and use him as some sort of sock puppet to try to get the least educated among us to go out and pull the lever based on the virtue of immutable characteristics. Yep. And that should be something that he, of all people, was able to get the country away from, and he made it 10 times worse.
Yeah, it's absolutely shameful. It's just pathetic, and it shows how thin their bench is, right? It's like Obama is one of the only Democrats left that can still appeal to even a majority of their people. Everybody else hates everybody else on the left. Meanwhile, on the right, we've got like a backbench, like 14 people long for who could be next president, from Ron DeSantis to J.D. Vance to Marco Rubio. Who do you like in 2028 here? We're about to go out, but just last prediction. Who do you like in 2028 as president? Are you thinking about that yet?
I'm not even going to say that yet, because I'm a firm believer in focusing on what's right in front of us. And I don't want to count my chickens before they hatch, if you will, before they come home to roost. So I will continue to be as circumspect as possible, but my decision will come as we get closer to that election. And I look forward to seeing who we do run to continue the work that's been started by Trump and his administration.
It's a good move. Keep your powder dry. That's Damani Felder on X, at The Damani Felder on TikTok as well. The Damani Felder. It's great shareable stuff, folks. Go check him out. Share his videos. They'll actually break through to people. I really believe that, and that's why I share them so much. Damani, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thanks, Harrison. Appreciate you. God bless.
Thank you. We'll be right back.
But when I tell you I need your prayers and your support and your word of mouth, I need it. And I don't want to go through long updates here, but they put in a month ago the state receiver. We got kicked out of the federal bankruptcy court. They're clear to come grab it. He's been in here every week, doesn't really even talk. They say they're going to try to have a public auction, but we know the plaintiffs, the Democrats, don't want that. They don't want somebody to buy it that would keep this operation on air. So I don't really have any faith in that. We'll see what happens. And he isn't even talking to my lawyers and people, even though he's been up here in the last few weeks. So I don't know if they're going to come today and shut us down or next week or they're going to have an auction. I don't know. But that's the sword of Damocles hanging over this place. So there's an urgency there. We've survived so many times and all the other tricks. People say, oh, you'll survive this time. Well, maybe God comes through. Maybe that's God's plan. Fine. I just give it all to God. I'm going to keep broadcasting. And then the minute we get taken down, the Alex Jones Network fires up. The satellites, the stations, all of it. Bigger studios getting built. A lot of stuff happening. But it takes money to do this. And I don't own the AlexJonesStore.com. The bad guys don't have any claim on that. It's owned by Bigley. They fund InfoWars now as the main sponsor. And they fund the Alex Jones Network. I need your support. And the products are incredible. We only bring you the best supplements that will change your life. Highest quality, highest rated, 2,000 milligram per scoop. Bovine colostrum, and we got the best. Methylene Blue, incredible, so good for you. 99% of people have incredible effects. It's literally over 99%. And it's energy with no letdown. It cleans out your cells. It's incredible. With all these studies about it, reversing Alzheimer's and the callers calling, I had glaucoma that went away, and I'm not making any of those claims. Just type in the incredible, ask ChatGPT or Grok about Methylene Blue. Get it now. Take the challenge. But take only like a quarter dropper when you first get it, because some people, like one of the crew members, thought he'd taken a hit of acid, basically. He was going crazy. He's like, God, I'm higher than a kite. What the hell? He's like a whole dropper. And the first time he takes it, when it really hits you. So, and if you're on serotonin reuptake inhibitors and stuff, you can't take it. It'll make you literally jump off a cliff. I mean, that's how strong it is, folks. So talk to your doctor. Look at the drugs you're on. Talk to him about it, because this is not a freaking game, okay? I mean, and all these things work in synergy together. So here's the current big sale, CMOS gummies, a fan favorite. 93 vitamins and minerals and trace minerals and elements that work together synergistically. Buy one, get one free, ends tonight. We've got yesterday's sheets, it ends tomorrow. Buy any bottle of CMOS gummies and get another bottle free. Our CMOS is incredible. Get yours at thealexjonesstore.com, and we need the funds. It's always like the widow's mite, where we just have enough. And I can bring on extra sponsors and stuff, but I know when I direct sell you stuff and I know it's quality, I know you're going to love it. And all I got to do is get you off the fence and take your step into a wider world. God's watching. Support the broadcast, word of mouth, prayer, and financially if you can. Plus, these are products you really need. Everybody's got to get that. If you just do one thing and you've been on the fence, never supported us, because less than 1% ever buy anything of our millions of listeners. That's fine. Okay. 1% of you to go, man, this guy's info's dead on. Let me get a bottle of this. What are you out? You supported a great broadcast. TheAlexJonesStore.com, and become a VIP. If you're going to get anything, you should be a VIP. It's $30 a month, and instantly you're given $40 of credit. So you just go in when you're buying a couple products at checkout. You go, oh, I'm going to be a VIP. Bloop. Puts $30 on your tab, and then as soon as you run the transaction, you notice 40 goes off your tab. See? And then you get special deals, special offers on everything. Sometimes special products just for you. And you can win free vehicle, all of it. TheAlexJonesStore.com, become a VIP.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Video. Share the link. Support us at thealexjonesstore.com. Remember, you're getting a free bottle of CMOS gummies with the purchase of a bottle of CMOS gummies. Buy one, get one free today. Ends tomorrow at midnight. Don't waste your time. Go get the CMOS gummies at thealexjonesstore.com/Harrison. Let them know who sent you. They really are. they really are powerful. They have naturally occurring iodine as well as a number of other amazing vitamins and minerals. And they taste great. I, every day, eat the Ultimate Sea Moss gummies and the Shilajit gummies. That's what keeps me so youthful. Youthful and happy. TheAlexJonesStore.com. We still have a lot to talk about in this final segment here. And I think I want to take a moment to talk about, well, let's see. I guess we've been talking a lot about Epstein. I don't really want to talk too much more about him, but we do have some breaking news here. Hakeem Jeffries has decided he's not actually so keen on releasing the Epstein files anymore. Perhaps had something to do with the fact that some of the recent releases show that it was a Democrat representative who was being fed talking points by Jeffrey Epstein live during a hearing where she is directly being instructed by him on what to ask. Again, if you've ever wanted to see a puppet, political puppet in action, you've never had a more blatant example than what we showed you earlier. Now, the Democrats, despite deciding all of a sudden earlier this year that Jeffrey Epstein was their pet project, they're not actually so excited anymore. Here's Hakeem Jeffries moments ago.
Believe the truth.
Why should Americans trust you and House Democrats on the Jeffrey Epstein files when one of your own, Congresswoman Plaskett, was found to be texting with Jeffrey Epstein during a hearing, getting information from him, using that in her questioning during a congressional hearing, and at one point he tells her, good job.
This is a bipartisan effort to make sure that, consistent with what the survivors have requested, that there's full and complete transparency, and every single predator who may be in those Justice Department files doesn't escape accountability.
Thanks. Yeah. A little bit of nothing from Hakeem Jeffries. We'll see. We'll see how it all goes. I guess while we're on the topic, we should continue talking about Israel's pernicious influence in our country and around the world. There's some interesting developments in the fight for free speech, or against free speech in the case of the Zionist lobbies. There was an event held over the weekend called the World Jewish Congress. I guess it was last week. The World Jewish Congress, which is exactly what it sounds like. Something that we're told doesn't exist. Organized Jewry. And I made the joke last week when there's the Republican Jewish Coalition meeting, summit, whatever they call it. I said, it seems like one of these happens like at least once a week. Seems like at least once a week there's some new gathering of elite, high-level Jewish Americans collaborating and scheming together. And this is an inexhaustive list, but I took a look. On October 23rd, there was the Jewish National Fund Global Conference for Israel. On November 2nd, there was the Republican Jewish Coalition Summit. On November 9th, there was the Zionist Organization of America Gala. On November 10th, there was the World Jewish Congress in New York. On the 12th, there was the International Conference of Chabad Emissaries. And actually, we have a video of that one. We can go to clip number 10 here. This is thousands of rabbis from over 100 countries gathering for the International Chabad Lubavitch Conference. We can go to that video, clip number 10. You see the thousands of rabbis there spreading the love. Then on the 16th of November, yesterday, you had the Jewish Leadership Conference. Also on the 16th of November, the Jewish Federation of North America General Assembly. And coming up is the November 23rd Jewish Writers Conference. And I was like, this is too much. This is too much. It's too organized for me. It really seems, tell me if I'm misinterpreting it here, it really seems like the elite Jews get together to, you know, align their efforts and collaborate every couple of weeks, like kind of more than our Congress meets. And it's always sort of bipartisan. You know, most of the time it's sort of bipartisan. And then there's individual ones for Republican Congress and Democratic Congress. And It just sort of goes on and on. And, you know, what's being discussed at these confabs are almost exclusively bad for America. It's almost exclusively bad for America. Here is the president of the World Jewish Congress calling for new censorship laws, even in American schools. Here's the list. Very inexhaustive. This is literally just me doing 10 minutes of research. But between, you know, October and November 23rd, you've like 10 different ones. And it's not like these are, you know, small time operations. These have like, you know, President Trump giving speeches at them. The one that occurred is occurring right now, I guess. I think it's the Jewish Leadership Conference. It's occurring right now. It's like Ben Shapiro and Barry Weiss, who just took over CBS News with Larry Ellison. Like, these are powerful people. We're coming together to progress their own ethnic interests, often in opposition to everybody else. Here's the president of the World Jewish Congress describing how they're going to censor everybody who's talking about how they control the government. Let's watch.
The Jewish schools are not enough. The entire education system in this country, from K through 12 and colleges, must be reformed. Laws must be passed that will focus on three things. No racism, no anti-Semitism, and no anti-Western civilization should be taught here. I need to remind you that anti-Semitism is not new. Even here in the United States, it's just that we haven't seen it in three generations. But in the 1930s, there was a strong, vocal, and even pro-Nazi movement that captured the public attention with famous names like Charles Lindbergh and Father Conklin, the radio priest with millions of listeners who attacked us every single day. Father Conklin was the Tucker Carlson of the 1930s. And radio was the TikTok and YouTube of the era. Henry Ford, the industrialist and multimillionaire, was another anti-Semitine. Even President Roosevelt, who was seen as an ally of the Jewish people, closed Americans' doors to Jews in Europe, who were desperate to find a country, any country, that would take them in. Today, we see a similar pattern playing right in front of our eyes. Big names with millions of followers are using the same old lies that Jews control the government, the media, our nation's foreign policies. The same lies our parents and grandparents heard, only now it's been adopted by young people who've been indoctrinated in this. We must retake our schools. It's only a question of money, laws. We lost one generation that's been brainwashed.
So we have to go for the kids. So basically anybody of conscious age now is a lost cause. We've got to go for the kids that don't know any better yet. We have to make laws to make it illegal to say that we do things like create laws to silence people who are talking about us. Yeah, this is unbearable. We will not bear it. Who the hell are you, you old crypt keeper skeletal psychopath? Who the hell do you think you are? Really, it's the temerity of the thing. It's the demanding nature. We're just not going to stand for it. It's not okay. And again, this callback to like Charles Lindbergh in the 20s. You know, I'll play another video in just a second, but it's all in the same motion. And it's what I was talking about earlier. It's this idea that like they have to believe that opposition to them is either ingrained, you know, European DNA that is just by nature anti-Semitic. Therefore, that explains it. Nothing you can do to stop it. It's natural. It's naturally occurring. You might as well, you know, try to cure a dog of rabies by patting it on the head. There's no point. It's infected. Just deal with it, right? So either it's got to be just naturally occurring, or it's got to be the consequence of, like, brainwashing, as if there's any group of people other than them that controls the messaging on social media and the radio and television and books. That's why they're having to demonize Qatar so much, because it doesn't make any sense without somebody out there doing this, without somebody paying for the brainwashing to happen. It doesn't even make sense. That's why they go with Qatar. It's all nonsense, bullcrap. It's very simple. Very simple. You're not censoring us. You're not silencing us. And the more innocent people you throw in prison, the more outrage you create. It's really not that complicated. And we go to another example of this. I don't know how long I'm going to let this fool talk, but clip number 24, same type of thing. And in a way, it's dehumanizing, is what it is. When you have people with perfectly valid, well-reasoned, factual objection to what you're doing, and you simply dismiss them by saying they're bots, they're being controlled, they're being tricked, it's dehumanizing. It robs you of your free will, your willpower, the fact that you can choose to do what you want. You're not a human being making well-reasoned choices. You're just like a robot or an animal, a dog or a child who just believes what you're told because you're stupid and can't think for yourself. But that's not true. But really what we're doing is just objecting to reality. We're objecting to what's actually happening. We don't like it's happening, so we object to it. You can try to pathologize that all you want, but it doesn't solve the problem of the thing that we're objecting to. Here's the same phenomenon in a different manifestation. Clip I just mentioned here. Clip 24.
Russia is at war with America. Need proof?
The current split in the Republican Party between the Make America Great Again people and America Firsters, who are on the side of racists and anti-Semites like Tucker Carlson and Nick Fuentes, is being manufactured by Russia.
Russia isn't even being subtle about it anymore because they found something that works. It doesn't matter what political party you're in. This is not a Republican issue. This is an America issue. Russia is forcing us to fight amongst ourselves while they run rampant in the world. Information warfare is a weapons effector.
Videos like this are weapon systems.
So how do we fight this? Well, it's actually threefold. Number one, we need to hold social media companies responsible for allowing weapon systems like this to spread. When it comes to things like materials that exploit children, we tell social media companies that they have to police that. But yet, when it comes to weapon systems that are designed by Russia and China to make Americans hurt each other, we go, free speech. No. We need to tell social media companies to start policing this kind of generated content. Number two, we need to consider striking the manufacturers and distributors of this content. That might mean kinetically, or that might mean with cyber effects. If the adversary was launching a cyber attack on our banks, would it be okay to drop a bomb on their data center? Probably it would be. So why is this any different? So third, we need to consider kinetically or using cyber effects.
Let me just answer that last question he asked there. Why is it any different? Because the people you're suggesting move kinetically against are American citizens expressing their genuinely held opinions and beliefs. You absolute psychopath. So just to be perfectly clear, he's calling for censorship and he's calling for physical attacks against people like Ella Malding, who was in that video. He's going to be a guest on the show later this week. Ella Malding took off her Make America Great Again hat, put on an America First hat. Let me explain to you exactly what happened here. Okay. Yeah, we're all idiots. I wrote it down. We're all being, quote, forced by Russia to fight each other. We don't think for ourselves. We don't have our own mindset. We all just stare into the spinning spiral. And Russia brainwashes us to not be pro-Trump. I mean, this is retarded. This is retarded, y'all. I don't know what else to tell you. He wants to not just censor, but move kinetically against, bomb people making this content. So let me explain exactly what happened. Ella Malding is a Nick Fuentes fan, has been for a while. She's a content creator. She's made a lot of content. It's pretty good stuff. She made a video where she took off a Make America Great Again hat and put on an America First hat. Russia, well, it used to be called Russia Today, RT, a Russian news outlet, covered this. They covered it. They said there's a civil war going on in MAGA. People are abandoning MAGA because MAGA is not America First. They're saying we want to be America First. I stand with MGT. I stand with Marjorie Taylor Greene. I stand with Tucker Carlson. I stand with Nick Fuentes. So because a Russian media outlet, RT, covered this story, this dumbass with a cigar, I don't even know who this guy is, says Russia is manufacturing this with their weapon systems, their information weapon systems, to force us to fight each other, and the people involved in it should be moved kinetically against. I think whoever this person is should be deported because he's clearly not an American. A Russian media outlet reporting on people being dissatisfied with Trump is not a psychological operation. It's literally their job. They're a news outlet and they're reporting on a very real phenomenon on the right wing. Now, Russia didn't make Trump lie about the Epstein files for the last 10 months. Russia didn't make Trump bomb Iran. Russia isn't the one allowing all of Trump's enemies and the tyrants that abused their power over the last 10 years get away with it and be unindicted. None of those things were Russia's fault, but they're all things that have caused previous Trump supporters to decide that he's not the right guy. So they want to take your genuine reaction to betrayal and say, actually, you're just a mindless animal that's being tricked into doing this by Russia. Just like Bill Burr thinks that his fans who criticize him for taking blood money from the Saudis, they're just bots also. And the young people rioting at the Mexican palace, they're just bots. They're just controlled by bots. This is absurd. Now, if you want to talk about a foreign country that actually is massively interfering in American elections, that is actually running psychological operations, that has a well-publicized and ever-increasing track record of spending hundreds of millions of dollars to take over media outlets, to take over social media companies, and to push their divisive messaging, that's Israel, obviously, not Russia. Seems like, if anything, Russia's just telling the truth about the Israeli weapon system that's been deployed against the American people. So again, what do you think the outcome is going to be of all of this? Dave Portnoy is still giving interviews daily about the fact somebody said F the Jews at him and threw coins near him. Meanwhile, I haven't seen any interviews of the parents of the six-year-old girl that was run over and killed by an illegal immigrant in Idaho. But hey, that's just a child being murdered. That doesn't nearly rise to the level of outrage that Dave Portnoy getting accurately called a jackass gets. Again, I said it last time. I'll say it again. Dave Portnoy, it has this weird solipsism. He has this weird narcissism where, like, he thinks things that happen to him are things that happen to all Jews. And he's like, I get called anti-Semitic names every day. It's like, that's because you're an intolerable person who has a lot of enemies. And then you made it aware, you made everybody perfectly aware of your greatest vulnerability, which is that you freak out like a baby when people say F the Jews. So that's what people do. You beady-eyed child. And it's a bit infuriating, I have to say, to know that there are multiple people right now in prison because they dared to insult Laura Loomer. Okay? This literally happened. Let me see if I can find the actual thing here. Now, first of all, Laura Loomer is in a fight with Tucker Carlson's brother, I guess. Tucker Carlson's brother's named Buckley. Laura Loomer says, Buckley Carlson says, I look like a rat. Totally normal behavior. Sounds familiar. Eventually, you have to ask yourself why the Carlsons are so hell-bent on pushing lies against a person who worked to uncover people embedded in the administration or are working to undermine Trump's agenda. Because you are also acting like an intolerable scumbag. Why do you think? Like, do you really think you should be allowed to try to destroy Tucker Carlson? To endlessly rail against Tucker Carlson? And claim that he is paid by Qatar, et cetera, et cetera. Yeah, I was going to say, I thought it was his son. I guess he also has a brother named Buckley or something. So why does he and his family keep pushing the lie that I'm not America first and that I'm a rat? Well, because you are overtly dedicated to the state of Israel to a really pathological degree. Because they don't like you personally as an individual. At some point, it has to be asked if Tucker Carlson is trying to incite violence against me. I personally think he is. It's clear as day what Tucker Carlson's issue with me, a lifelong Trump supporter who has always promoted America first. I'm a rat to them. Juden rat. He named his son after his brother. That makes sense. His dad's name is Richard Wagner Carlson. Gay might be on something, Laura. All right, Loomer. I changed my mind. You might be on something. No, I'm kidding. Now, meanwhile, a man named Nicholas Ray has been arrested and accused of making anti-Semitic threats against Laura Loomer and other conservative activists living in Florida. You know, we've covered this, you know, ad nauseum, but I just want you to be aware. We are entering into an America where white people will be thrown into prison possibly for the rest of their lives, for defending themselves against repeated attacks. There's a man who is being charged with manslaughter because he killed a group. I'm not even sure how many of them he killed, but there were six black teenagers, broke into his garage over and over and over again. Finally, one time he catches them, confronts them, they attack him, he shoots in self-defense in his own home. He's now charged for manslaughter for that. I don't know how many times we at InfoWars have been swatted or doxxed or threatened outright. I get threats every single day. Nobody cares. Nobody's going to do anything about it. We can have meetings with the FBI. Still nothing comes of it. And yet, if you dare to insult a Jewish person, you will be arrested. And we've seen no less than three examples of this in the last 2 weeks. Nicholas Ray was arrested. The guy in Texas, Engler or whatever, had his door knocked on by people. Well, we're concerned about what you're saying online. And you had another guy in Florida. It just happens over and over and over again. So is that what's happening? Is that they're elevating Jews to a, you know, higher class, higher caste than the rest of us Americans? Where any insult is perceived as an existential threat and you'll be charged and thrown in prison for it? Because let me say again, we're not going to stand for this. I do want to tell you about a sale that we've got going on InfoWarsStore.com. I feel like it's been forever since I've plugged InfoWarsStore.com. But let me tell you, folks, I'm plugging it for a good reason because it is the final batch.
Final batch.
Of two of our most bombshell, widely respected, well-known, and powerful supplements, Ultimate Fish Oil and Bod Ease Turmeric Supplement. And this is a critical moment. If you've been thinking about improving your health, now is the time to act. And not just for the sake of your well-being, but to help keep InfoWars on air as long as possible. For a limited time, we're offering 40% off two of our best-selling products, Ultimate Fish Oil and Bodies Whole Body Support. Our fish oil is packed with essential omega-3s to support your heart, brain, and joints, while our turmeric helps with inflammation and boosts your overall wellness. Both products are powerful tools in your daily health routine. But here's the reality. We at InfoWars could be shut down in the very near future. We need your support right now, and the funds from these sales are critical for keeping the fight going as long as possible. Once the supply is gone, you might not have a chance to restock or even be around for to offer these products again. We might not be around to offer these products ever again. 40% off Ultimate Fish Oil, 40% off the Body's Turmeric Supplement. It is a massive discount, and it's your chance now to grab these high-quality supplements while helping us survive. Do not wait. Head to InfoWarsStore.com. Buy now and keep us going. Every purchase helps. Every order makes a difference. And like I said, these could be the final runs of Ultimate Fish Oil and Body's Turmeric Supplement, two of our most powerful and beloved supplements. Please do go get Ultimate Fish Oil today at InfoWarsStore.com. Keep us on the air, in the fight, and keep yourself healthy.
Discover a wide variety of products at InfoWarsStore.com. From shirts, books, hats, survival gear to essential documentaries and supplements, InfoWarsStore.com has got you covered. We have the highest quality at the lowest prices. Visit InfoWarsStore.com and help support the InfoWar.